How is everything going? I'm going to kill the dog. Hello.
What are you assembling over there?
Yeah, what are you doing, Serv?
I'm opening a box.
Kind of box.
Not one of those boxes.
I was about to say, what kind of box?
Not a little box. It actually is a little box. It's it's a little box that has little cartridges in it.
Yeah.
Like batteries?
No, not like batteries. Like compressed air.
Oh, like for making seltzer and
exactly. And stuff.
But what are you doing with it?
Well, I'm gonna attach it to my seltzer bottle here and see if I can make some seltzer.
To put with booze, right?
That's seriously? Pretty tasty.
Seriously, that's what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you not know this?
No, never heard of it.
There's a little CO2 canister. You pop it in the bottle with the water, and then boof, seltzer water.
And what you also may not know is that there are also cartridges that have nitrous oxide in them. And you can make whipped cream with those.
Yes, you can. And you can get the cream maker at restaurant stores.
Or
my husband's
shops.
A chef. I know that.
Or what? What else would you do with it?
Or head shops. You can get whipped cream makers.
Oh.
And we're so boring. You know that? Neither one of us saw that coming and probably should have been able to see it a mile away.
Well, I wouldn't be living up to my name as minister of what was it?
No.
Illegal bits?
Something.
Oh my god, are we changing our names up?
Nope. We're just checking different things out. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Possibilities.
We're pushing the boundaries.
Okay.
And possibly killing ourselves.
Doing a little home dental work, that's all.
I need a church key.
A church key?
Yeah, I have a beer that I can't twist open.
Oh. Then you need a church key.
Alcohol. This is probably a bad idea.
Why?
I had a really shitty day today, so.
My son was 2 for 2 with an RBI and a run today.
Yay! Awesome!
In his very first baseball game ever.
Oh, his very first game of T-ball or?
No,
what was it?
Baseball.
Baseball? My kid almost got a hat trick. 2 goals and 2 assists in his last roller hockey game. We were very happy.
Very nice.
And his team has finally learned how to pass. It only took all of them about 6 years of playing hockey to learn how to do this, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Passing is a big skill.
Passing is important. Yep.
It's harder than you think.
It is. And it is really hard for them because, of course, everybody wants to score. So, oh, shit.
That's going on the soundboard.
Oh, shit. So did everybody have a good Dragon Con?
You know, I have to tell you, my Dragon Con went from the depths of shit to the peaks of love and awesomeness within 24 hours.
What was the depths of shit, honey?
When I thought I'd struck out on RAC.
Oh.
And so what did I do? I got in touch with a track director I knew who had some pull, who knew some people. And you know what she did? She introduced me to the track director for the sci-fi fantasy lit track, who then got me hooked up with the author that I was exclusively there to see. And not only did he sign my books, he hung out with me and took some pictures and chatted. Oh yeah.
He's a nice guy. I met him at the parade. He and his wife were very, very sweet.
Awesome. Yeah. He was a good guy. He really was a good guy.
I honestly mean that. He seemed very, very nice. Yes. And he goes by Bob. I just called him sir. I was like, yep. I did get a picture with him because I said, I have to take a picture with you so I can send it to my friend because he's going to be so jealous. But then somebody else took the picture. So I don't know who has the picture. I got to find out. Somebody at the parade.
Were you going to send it to me?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, because like, I'd have been so jealous.
I know. But then you got one. So see, now you don't have to.
I would have been so jealous, especially if I hadn't gotten to meet him.
I know.
Oh, that would.
What? Rox, how about yours? Rox, you got some great feedback on all your panels from me.
Oh, I did? Cool beans.
And so did John. Cool. And oh my God, I cannot believe it. I've already had people email me saying they want more Lost panels.
Really?
Really?
Really? They love Lost and they want to talk about it all the damn time.
I want to talk about Lost. Call me every day.
Yeah.
Really? Because most of those people are way more qualified than me to talk about Lost.
Well, but they like you guys. They got you guys lead the panel. Yeah.
Well, actually, Aaron just leads the panel. The rest of us just try to get a word in edgewise.
That's true.
It's edgeways. Edgeways.
No, it's Elways.
Just
John
give it,
Elway.
Aaron, what was it? A bottle of rum and a bottle of vodka and a half a bottle of whiskey?
Yeah, you're talking about my Sunday night at Dragon Con, right?
Yes, I am talking about your Sunday night
That's
at Dragon Con.
Every day.
Well, it might have been every a good day. Night, but I will tell you that the next day, you look like a harsh wind could blow you over, and all you wanted to do was lie down and die. I love you, but that's much. Exactly how you wanted to. That's how you looked.
That's exactly how I felt. So you're not wrong.
There you go.
I'm actually listening to ourselves on the last panel, John.
Yep.
John talks a lot more on a panel than he thinks he does because he was.
I know.
He was talking a lot during the JJ Abrams
panel.
Oh,
by the way. By the way.
Well, fuck.
Uh-oh.
My wife, I'm going to get her up here. She will confirm that there was a voiceover going on that stupid Grimm, the kiss. Thing.
Okay, I will go watch it. I have not watched it because everyone thought you were fucking crazy.
I rewatched the one that was no longer on my DVR, but it was just on the on demand, and it's not there. It is not there.
Oh, I have one on my DVR. I will watch it, and if you are correct, I will.
It could have only been the Fios version. I don't know, but it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you lost your damn mind.
Everybody in the audience thought I lost my mind. Yep. I was beginning to think I lost my mind until Sonya confirmed that I was not crazy.
You know what? Your wife should come to Dragon Con.
Yeah, she's not coming to Dragon Con. There's no way in hell.
Why not?
She's not coming to Dragon Con.
Mostly because I'm there.
Oh.
Because
I do know how that is, yes.
Well, you're not really there, John, in fairness.
No, you're right. I am
but Sonya's really. Super nice. She's really cool.
You're right.
She let Lee in the house.
Running chores.
She let me in the house, and we're all going on vacation together.
Wow. Where are you going?
I'm going to Florida.
Oh.
Our kid still likes us, so we want to take him to some amusement parks while he still likes us.
Okay. Listen. What you need to do, pick up weird. No, shut up.
We're not taking the 13-year-old to the strip.
No. Pick up Weird Florida, that book. And you could, do all the weird, horrible.
I think we're just doing the regular stuff.
I think we're just doing the regular stuff, Rox. Remember, it's John and I and our families. We're pretty damn boring.
You know, I could take your kids on one of these excursions and they would love it. It's like, oh my God. It's like a hobo camp. Oh my God. How did you know where all this stuff was?
John, we'd never get our children back. They'd become hobo.
Yeah, they'd come out with, they'd get hobo names and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yep.
I think my son already has a little bit of a crush
on Rox. Of course, you know, when it's all done, you know, it'd be time to pick up your kids. Hey, where's our kids? Oh, Rox, you know, I sold them to some gypsies.
Again.
Oh, yeah. Healthy white children get a lot of money from the gypsies, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have to go get a church key before we...
Oh, speaking of which, I actually have a real freaking gypsy following me on Twitter.
Finner!
No, no, she wrote this. Her name is Olanka. She was on Talk of the Nation or something. And she wrote this book about her, you know, she's Russian gypsy and on how they came over to the U.S. and stuff. And they're musicians. But it was so funny that I guess her father made a stipulation, like while they're on tour, you know, no palm reading, no stuff like that. So, and it's funny that people still have a stigma against gypsies. And I actually twittered on Talk of the Nation. I'm like, dude, I said, I've always wanted to meet gypsies. Gypsies are cool people. And I had to like throw my friend under a bus again because, you know, she didn't let us know about the gypsy funeral.
See, here's what's weird is that I didn't realize that you could have an eye problem that was specifically associated with gypsies. Oh, wait, that's an astigmatism. I'm sorry.
Astigmatism.
Astigmatism. Yeah. Which, guess what I'm drinking?
What's that, Lee?
A Samick Kloss 2010.
Ah. Well, hang on a second. Let me join you with something here. Hang on. Let me try and get this open. Okay, yes. Hang on. Ladies.
That's what she said.
Wait, damn it. Okay.
This
coming.
Is 14%.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Widge, this is 14% alcohol. This might kill me.
So basically, we've got about 5 minutes of soberly left, folks. So if anyone wants to ask her a question, you might want to get it in now.
Yeah, we can talk about ladies. If we promise not to tape it. If we promise not to tape it, I'll tell you all about it. Oh,
okay. John, Serve, I'd like to point out that at this point, the Sammy Claus has taken hold.
Three sips. It's very good. It's very fruity. It's kind
like
of
I said, at this point, the Sammy Claus has taken hold. And
but I missed you all, and I'm really glad I saw everybody. I miss all of you guys who are here. Now the Sammy Claus has taken
hold. It was the fourth sip that did it at that ABV.
This is really good, Widge. Thank you.
I know. Seriously, right? Okay, Lee, I am trying the Long Strange Trappel from Boulevard Brewing. The people who brought you six glasses.
Oh, nice.
It's very interesting. I like the quad better, but it's good.
Freeze from Dragon Con?
Yeah, anything you can actually use on the podcast, that would be cool.
I remember us rocking it hard at Solve This.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Split and my nephew were at Solve This. That was actually my husband's fault. He's the bad parent, not me this time. And they loved it. And my nephew now asks if he can listen to the podcast, to which I said no.
Oh. Hey, he was at our villains panel.
He can listen to all this podcast. That's pretty clean.
He can.
Yeah.
Well, fairly. I mean, Lee, I look at it this way. If they can be at the, you know, penis-infused fun fest, then they can certainly listen to all this.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah.
You talked about penis and farts. For a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old, it was like fucking
yeah.
I mean, we cut out the worst joke we ever made at Unsolved This, which I'm still kind of half proud of.
Oh my gosh, I know. Wow.
That's okay.
You know what? You went to a dark place far quicker than I did.
Rocks.
That's the Solve This clip show for Christmas.
Trust me. Oh, I've got the unedited episode still. Don't worry.
It's okay. My nephew was mad that he had to leave on Monday and he couldn't see the Last Need Coffee panel. That was his anger on Monday.
So, and let me just point out, and I know you guys have probably all heard me say this before, since this might make it to the podcast. One of my favorite moments of the entire weekend is watching Rocks eat. Zombie Mr. Rogers.
Oh my God, he was awesome.
Please God, did somebody get it on camera?
Yeah, I got a picture. It's in my Facebook.
Yeah, let me just say, when I think it was Rob that goes, oh, you need to go meet this woman over here. And then when Rox turned around and saw, basically, imagine, if you will, dear listeners, a guy in a Mr. Rogers attire. On one hand is a trolley with an intestine crammed inside it. On the other hand, are the characters from the Land of Make Believe.
It was King Friday,
and
he was a zombie too.
Yeah, there were and there were zombies on his fingers, the little puppets, and he was in full zombie makeup. And then he would talk like this. He'd be like, Would you be my neighbor? Because he barely had a jaw left.
Yeah.
The look of glee.
I saw the pictures of zombie Mr. Rogers, and I thought those were pretty funny.
There's one of me with him. It's awesome.
How's that whipped cream, surf?
Well, the thing is I never met him in real life, so yeah. I had to show Mr. Rogers love, man, because he's awesome. Because you know what? He likes me just the way I am.
Yes.
He does. He does. He loves you just the way you are. That's so incredible. Did anybody else get noticed for being like on Need Coffee or other podcast?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, I'm independently famous.
I thought it was me. Okay.
Oh, no. I was talking to somebody and I did my maniacal laugh and a woman, I think she almost had whiplash. She's like, I know your voice.
Yeah, I was up on the stage for the Warehouse 13 panel, and I was just saying, you know, like, everybody get in the room, listen to the people. And this woman comes up to me because she goes, you do a podcast. And I'm like, I'm feeling like a criminal. And I went, yeah, a couple. But you do the 50 days one. So John, is he here? And I'm like, he'll be here later. She was like, I want to see John. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, she does.
She did. She was like, she couldn't wait to see John. I'm like, he'll be here.
Rox, what's hilarious is after your maniacal laugh, it was like you're expecting to be recognized from a podcast, but instead she said, it was your Zeppelins that crushed my village.
Yeah.
Your Zeppelins. Yeah, that was awesome.
And can anyone explain to me?
And I was like, oh, it's awesome.
Can anyone explain to me the young lady at the end of the Sherlock panel who at one point tried to rush the stage while I was doing the Reichenbach Falls theory?
What, oh, the Molly?
That was Molly.
How did everyone recognize that who she was? And I didn't. I had no clue.
Because you were drunk?
Yeah.
She had a lab coat on?
Aaron, you were pretty much drunk all weekend from what I could tell.
I was not, you lying bitch. I was drunk Thursday night and I was drunk Sunday night. That is all.
And Tuffles and
you ignorant bitch.
Now, granted.
I didn't drink until after the Sherlock panel anyway. I had nothing until after that.
Now, granted, bear in mind that Aaron loses track of time. So for him, Thursday night lasted until Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah, well,
cool
if you don't sleep, it does.
Yeah, it's true. I that's how I always count it.
Did anybody talk to my husband on Thursday night at Trader Vic's?
Although, let me just.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I
did. Tipsy, it was adorable. It was adorable. He's like all giggly and tipsy.
Well, Lee, let me just say that I absolutely love the fact that whereas everyone else in the room is like, oh, look, a Molly to help illustrate this thing that Aaron's doing. Aaron is going, who is this crazy bitch who is after me?
Yeah. No, seriously, because like Molly wasn't involved in my theory. Like I was talking about him standing on the ledge and she's creeping. I was like, Molly's not here.
So it was good. Just go with
okay.
it.
If Molly, everyone else understood it, that's fine. I was just highly confused.
Listen, you do everything.
I believe Molly factored into.
Go ahead.
What?
I was going to say, I believe Molly factored into everybody else's theory.
Yes, she did.
Which is why she was trying to get up because she thought she was also in yours.
Right.
Well,
Molly, she had the replica dead body of you out in the hall.
Yeah.
She was just going to switch it out for me when I landed
that's
off the chair.
Right.
That's right.
And then you know what? You'd be the Weekend of Bernie's guy.
Well,
I didn't see the dead Aaron. Where was the dead Aaron?
That was that Monday morning, Lee.
Yeah, that was you. You were dead.
That was
you
the intestine crammed in the
felt bad. I'm like,
I mean,
oh my God.
I would like to say, don't get me wrong. If the lovely young lady is listening to this podcast, you're very sweet and very nice.
Oh, make up
I was just
to her
so
now.
Confused.
Yeah. Well,
I was just so confused.
You have to understand, Aaron is sitting there going, well, I appreciate her coming towards the stage, but I need more than one person to crowd surf.
Right.
I do also, like the fact
that someone's throwing their underwear at me.
Can we do that next year at the Fun Fest?
Crowd surf?
Throw underwear at me.
Throw underwear at Aaron.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Don't drop me.
I wouldn't make it alive.
I know.
Drop me.
You know what? Everybody go, no. No.
It hurt.
No.
Don't try that trust exercise.
Everybody will be just like, no.
No. That is a trust exercise with our fans we probably shouldn't do. That
yeah. At first, it'd be like, you got sun chips?
No.
It's
more like if I drop them and then say something silly, I wonder if I can get on the podcast.
Apparently, I like not having to explain Need Coffee anymore. I can just go in. I'm like, hey, I'm Roxas Spazhow for needcoffee.com. And everyone's like, hey. Wow. So, yeah.
That's nice.
Is John on the line or has John disappeared?
Me too. It's good.
He's here. John.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
John, husband.
He's probably watching television. That's what he does.
He's trying to light up. What?
He's watching porn.
No, what? What was the question?
John, if you're
Hold on, wait a second. I was making myself a drink. What's going on?
If you're at Dragon Con and you have to like do the whole like, you know, oh, who are you with? Do you say I'm with neatcoffee.com or do you say I'm with the Unique Geek? Which do you name drop with?
Well, Aaron, right. I think if I can put forth a theory, I think it depends on how much you think she's in danger of being prosecuted.
That's right.
Which answer is the good one? Which answer gets you off the hook?
Well, then, it would be the Unique Geek because I bring you 50 days of
Dragon Con. I think that's
okay.
What I would say.
I guess no one wants an answer from the guy who actually was asked the question.
No, not really.
All right, as long as we're all clear on that.
No, John, answer. We'll be quiet now.
I don't want to answer now.
Please answer.
I've never been asked that question. B, I probably wouldn't say either. I would just say, I don't know, I'm with myself.
I'm John Patel, bitch.
I'm the
better recognize.
Hey, Aaron, what's with all this street? What are you doing?
Yeah, what is your bitch word all the time? You've used it like 4 times tonight.
Over here for what? Less than a couple weeks, and you're sounding like you're from Newark, and you never even went there.
Excuse me, madam. That's where my stopover on the way home was.
That doesn't really count.
That's where
count.
I got delayed
really
for 2 hours.
That really doesn't count. Work really doesn't count.
I'm sorry. Did you say you got laid for 2 hours?
Sure. Why not?
In Newark.
Let's start that rumor.
You better go get checked out.
Dude, you better get a shot.
Don't worry, sir. I got checked out quite enough. Thanks very much.
Hey, can I?
Oh, yeah, we got a picture of your flat ass.
John, what were you going to say?
And if this question was already asked, forgive me, but can I reverse the question back to Aaron? Who would you say?
If it depends on the panel I'm doing, but normally, like if I'm doing a Fred panel, I'll say Fred. If I'm doing a coffee panel, I'll say any coffee. I will switch it up because I'm a whore like that.
All right, you throw out website of
Doom and stuff.
No, I never tell anyone I'm doing a website of Doom.
Really? Why not?
Wait, hold on. If you're doing a lost panel for X-Track, what do you say?
It's like the Cracker Jacks. They need to find website of Doom as the surprise.
Yeah. Well, I don't do that much. I've backed off the website of Doom. I created the monster, and now I'm letting it roam free.
Sorry. You are on at least a podcast a week on there.
Wait,
hold on. Let me just go do a check real quick.
Yeah, and is
one a month? I do one a month now.
Land, or is he still on my land?
Oh, bullshit!
Get off my land,
John. I'm going with you on this one. I will totally give points for you on this one. So Fever is Fitzy on your land or our land still?
He's currently traveling. He just got dropped off at the airport at Texas and is on his way home.
Oh, my God.
I call him Brian. I'm sorry. I don't go by the Fizzy, Fitzy, whatever thing. He's Brian.
I just say, hey, sweetie, and I give him a big hug, and then he hugs me.
Well, there is that, too.
Yeah. And then my husband looks at me, and he's like, why are you hugging all these people? And I'm like, because
it's Dragon Con, and you're already drunk at Trader Joe's.
I'm practicing for Perelman. What do you want?
Trader Joe's. She's drunk. Yeah, she's picking up stuff.
That's the problem is that Lee is drunk at Trader Joe's and going, how am I going to make it downtown?
I need more cheese. I need more cheese.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with this wine, this $2 wine. There's not enough of it.
No, that $2. Yes, there is enough of it, and I don't want to.
So Rob and I spread happiness last night of con. That was fun.
Oh, did you now?
Did you get checked out?
Is happiness what you call your vagina?
No.
Whoa.
That's what she calls her Zeppelin.
It's content.
Whoa.
No, guys, you heard her wrong. It wasn't happiness. It was a penis.
Oh. A penis, yes.
Okay.
We spread a penis. Well, you know, Rob was with me, so. Anyway. No, we were going around fist bumping every person in costume, including the ones that weren't so great. And you know what? People were thanking us. And actually, I got fist bumped the next day, and so did yeah, because you know what? Honestly, people who dress up, they want to be noticed. They really do.
That's why they do it.
Bottom line, that's why they do it. So we were having a good time. 2 o'clock is the time when, you know, you just sort of stop because everyone's too drunk to care.
Now Ross, what was the final number of fist bumps?
360.
Nice.
All right, so Aaron, you're close. You do 2 to 3 things at Website I Doom a month.
Oh, liar!
Or did you actually count the last?
I just looked under the tag Aaron Poole and found Mars Needs Podcast number 177, but that was the last panel, so admittedly you didn't actually do anything there. Drive In of Doom, X Men, Audiophilia, Tease Me Baby, Dark Knight Returns Part 1.
Yeah, but they're not all podcasts.
Yeah, but you're doing stuff there. Are
you're
you not?
You're doing stuff, sweetie.
Yeah, I backed off. I'm saying I'm not doing as much as I used to do. I used to do way more.
Like last week?
Okay, now hang on.
What does he have to do at next year's Dragon Con for losing this bet?
There was a bet?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Making shit up now.
Are you going to remember what it is he has to do?
You're assuming
I'm guessing part of the
Dragon Con next year. In the IM, and then I'll remember.
You have to understand, Aaron. You have to understand, Aaron. She made the bet with Mr. Claus there. So,
okay. I'm guessing part of the game is that no matter what she told you that the loss of the bet was going to be, she's actually added stuff to it between now and next September.
Oh yeah, no, I don't tend to rely on that. Lee's memory seems as though I was supposed to be on a J.J. Abrams panel.
Oh, I've got the email. I just haven't sent it to you yet.
Yeah,
because it doesn't exist.
Because and it said, "Lee, sweetie, darling, why isn't there a Lost panel?" And I sent it back and said, "Well, there is this J.J. Abrams panel at this time on this date."
Wait, Lee.
You didn't tell me I was honest.
Like, Lee, hang on.
A Lost panel.
Hey, hang on, Lee. Let me just point out that what you originally said was, I have the email right here. I just haven't sent it. And
I haven't sent
it. Well, a week later, that might be the problem.
No. I sent it when he sent the question, sweetie darling. Because
You said there was a J.J. Abrams panel on a Dragon Con. You didn't either say that I was supposed to be honest.
You are supposed to be on everything J.J. or Lost.
Hey, you know, this is just like our J.J. Abrams show.
It is.
Is Lee a polar bear?
Promises not kept. Questions unanswered.
Hey, Lee and I had a surprise for our Warehouse 13 panel.
Yes, we did.
We
had one of the writers.
If the writers show up.
And we had a surprise on our J.J. Abrams panel, did we not, John Boutel?
Yes, young Jacob was there.
Wow.
Oh, my God, that boy
needs to be. Also, you know what was a surprise? I wasn't there.
And you know what? Actually, that actor, Kenton Duty, he's an incredibly nice guy. He's very smart.
He's a sweetie. He's adorable.
And I put in a good word for him with my friend who happens to be the director of entertainment operations on the Disney cruise line too, because they bring Disney guests on all the time. So I told her that, you know, he's definitely one to look up
I thought he was really, really great on that panel, and he had a lot of fun too. He told me he did, so I'll take it. Yeah.
Yes. So that was
awesome. I would have liked to be in there.
Silence that refreshes, right, Tuffley?
Sure.
Yeah, there we go.
I was refreshed.
You say it, Soundboard Tuffley.
Soundboard Tuffley isn't ready. I'm out of practice. This is the first time I have been up in this room since I've been back. I have been on call. I stepped off the plane, immediately was on call for my work, and then scouts is starting and everything else is starting, and I have not communicated with people. Sir, I've not seen the world.
He hasn't answered emails either. I've sent him some emails and he hasn't.
He never answers emails.
So, what are you putting that whipped cream on, sir?
My mouth.
Oh, okay. You just straighten the mouth. Good.
Oh, yeah.
I get it in my mouth every time.
There you go.
See, soundboard. Aaron's on board. He knows when to cue in.
He's a dick and I don't like him.
Yeah, see? I double my take on soundboard Aaron.
We've blown our wad early in the show.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let me ask this question about Dragon Con. If you were going to add a day, would you add Thursday?
Oh, wow.
Now, wait a minute. So, Lee, basically, Thursday's,
no.
Thursday's already been added.
It's the unofficial day.
Hold on.
Even though there's concerts and stuff. So that's like an unofficial
day. Also, the idea of making it longer, fuck you.
First of all, it would have to be Thursday because everyone has to get up Monday. Because everyone's on vacation. Thursday, they've already added, and I overheard, I think it was Dan. Maybe it was, not Dan, but.
Dan or Bobby?
I think it's Bobby.
Lee, he was talking about Tuesdays locals only, but that probably wouldn't make enough money for that.
John, what were you saying about Bobby? What
he was saying, and he was saying that they've already added Thursday. The only thing that they would probably do is just add more parties, official parties on Thursday night, which I think I can see that happening since everyone's getting there on Thursday anyway.
Needs official party. Screw that shit. We got Trader Joe's or Trader Vic's or whoever.
Let's meet at the frozen fruit aisle.
Well, we could start at the Trader Joe's and then.
I know. I think that.
So it's hysterical. So I was supposed to meet somebody at Trader Vic's on Saturday, and I was waiting on them, and people kept coming up going, "I'll have a Mai Tai," and then getting pissed when the Mai Tai was like $9-$10, and they're like, "On Thursday it was $6," and the bartender just kept saying. That's our special.
Question,
our
though,
special.
Is Big Mike gone forever?
He's
not
gone.
Not forever.
Oh, not for, well,
he's in Seattle, though, right?
Well, he is basically going to New York for a week to do his Puddles Pity Party show there. And then he's going to Seattle to be in a production through February. Okay. And I'm not sure what's happening
so
after that.
So here's the thing, and no offense to Tongo Heedy as it stands. That Thursday night is not the same without Big Mike.
It's not. True. I know.
True statement.
It's not.
It isn't. He always gives me a big hug, too.
Well,
he
makes it a party because he's as drunk as the rest of us.
Well, and Rox, just to be fair, he can't give anything other than a big hug. He's a very big dude. And it's
I know.
His name.
He actually kind of lifts me up every time because he like hugs me and then like leans forward and that like lifts me up. If anybody's coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, John. Hotel.
Oh, God. Sammy.
And now would be a good time for Soundboard Tuffley.
I'm amazed on how Wednesday was. Everybody had like little meet and greets, and those were like kind of decent swing.
The meet and greets, plus we've got a lot of I hate to say this, but a lot of the guests are already there on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That's where I got the, you know, Colin Ferguson.
Who has their
big hug? Yeah.
Who has their hotel already?
I do.
Okay. I need to sort this shit out.
I usually have it on Thursday.
You need to quit being a diva and get a goddamn room.
John, did you book your Hyatt Place room?
Yes, I booked two. Yes.
Okay, now, on the website, it tells me that it's sold out. That surely is bollocks.
No, I actually, it probably is. Well, I don't know. I know that I don't want to give away secrets.
One word at a time.
I don't want to give away secrets.
Secrets, man.
We can cut it out, John. Just mark it.
Oh, yeah, but then you have to have the person, like, if I was to buy a...
Okay,
we're
going to
cut this out, Lee. This is not going to be on there. This will be excised out.
Do I have to excise something else? Fuck.
I think so. Yes.
There should just be a series of long beeps.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
Fuck,
this podcast is going to be 20 minutes long. Oh, Sammy.
He's awesome.
All right, so are we done with Dragon Con? Can we move on to other important topics?
But I would just like to say I'm pissed at Dragon Con changing their room fucking rules every year.
Well, yeah. Hey, at least, listen, at least we're not at the point of doing hotel raffles.
No.
Oh,
like Comic-Con. Oh, we're God screwed help. When that happens. I'm just saying. Bitch about it now, but we don't want hotel raffling.
Literally, I will tell you on Saturday.
You know what, Aaron, you'll be up in Buckhead.
On Saturday, when I was trying to get from panel to panel to moderate them, I was like, God damn it. Why do we have so many people here? I totally said
Hey, I had absolutely no problem. None at all. Except some of the little biking homeless guys are like, you're always biking everywhere. Where are you going, girl?
Is there any sign of them capping tickets?
Well, I will tell you this year, which this can't be on the podcast.
That's okay. I don't know that we have a podcast at this point. Keep going.
I was talking with Serve. I said, you know, next year, Saturday, why don't we just go to the football game? Because Saturday was ridiculous.
It was redonkulous.
No, it was ridiculous.
You should have just been sitting in your hotel room having sex.
I pretty much did with Serve. What?
Ridiculous.
Huh?
Wow. Okay,
you both might want to get checked out.
He checked.
Probably not the same place Aaron went to get checked out.
Probably not.
Hope not.
My God, the parade was insane, though. I will say that the parade was insane.
Oh, dear God.
Did the haunted house float actually take out any traffic lights, or did it just nick all of them?
It nicked them all.
Okay, can I say this about the parade? And this can be in the podcast. Seriously.
Write it down, Edge. Write it down.
Now the podcast begins.
This is how bad I feel about the parade. The poor kids, the thing was 8, 10, 12 people deep.
Yep.
And there was poor kids that were stuck in the back. They have to create a kids section or something along the street or something. Or people have got to learn common sense and common courtesy to let those kids get up there. Everyone else can see over their head. It's not like you can't see over there. And those poor kids are just trying to see the store.
But John, they need to take as many pictures as possible for their website.
The thing is, the issue. People were lining up. Now, I remember times when it would be like, 8:30, Lee? And we mosey on up the street.
Yeah, mosey up. There
were, no, 8:30 people. It was already packed. I biked all the way up, and I'm like, holy shit, people, where did you come?
I heard the best suggestion.
Actually, getting up on that parking garage.
Oh, my God. Well, the other issue I heard was extend it. All right, so if you keep going on Peachtree about where the Hyatt Place is, there's the kind of
there's like a hook there.
There's a hook.
Yeah.
Keep up to there and hook it down, because it was literally ridiculous. No, I'm look, as the lady with the megaphone at the parade. Oh my God, too many people.
Yeah.
We did not put the last person stepping off until I think 8:40, 8:45.
Oh, it's not even the parade is too long. The parade is perfectly
9:45, whatever time it was. 10:45. Ack.
The parade is perfect. The parade is perfectly the exact length it needs to be.
I think
the parade is the exact length it needs to be. But the length, how far they have to walk, and by the way, if you do that loop, you're still going downhill. So that's the big issue that everyone has. Is that we're all geeks and we're not the best in physical shape. So
I saw some hotties.
Says the guy that runs marathons.
Whatever.
Oh my God.
I was fine. I like circles around my people.
But my point is that if you go down and around the hook, you're still continuing to go downhill. So it's not there's no uphill there.
I agree.
agree. I literally, I think we got to extend it because the issue there too is there are so many Atlanta people now that come out. And
oh, yeah. What
was this year, because I had the megaphone and I say this because I've actually already sent it in. The megaphone was great for the first like 15 people in the parade. But after that, everybody's like, oh, okay, all those people are gone. And all the looky-loos came in. Well, and they're like taking pictures, to which my favorite was the woman who looked at me and he goes, bitch, do you know how hard it is? I'm sure. Do you know how hard it is to get a picture? And I looked at her and went, I'm 5'1", bitch, deal. And I said that.
Oh, Lee, why are you being all street using bitch all the time? What's up?
Yeah. I know. Hey. Lee's all street.
Excuse me.
Well, here's, I did like the fact that you had to go through, you guys cordoned it off for the most part from your looky loos, as you want to call them. That worked out really well.
I thought you know, I did.
But I guess once you said, once you dropped the thing and started sending people, they started swarming, right?
Yeah. At about the first 10, 15, because those were the first ones in line, we had to like yell at people to get out of the way of the Star Trek group. And it was really, Star Wars group. It was bad. Yeah.
Well, this is a response to John's initial issue that, you know, it's too deep and the kids couldn't see anything. You know what? Those kids need to get taller.
Or you know what? They need to bug their parents to go there earlier because, you know, Shag got a decent spot to record.
No, he didn't. Hold on.
You know what? They could tell their parents to get a hotel room to watch the parade on TV.
I know.
Shag was astounded that he had to walk from the Hyatt Place to the beginning of the parade to find a spot at all.
What time did he go out?
He left it at 8:45.
I was walking to the parade to go get my megaphone, and it was about 8:45. Literally tier four deep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Shag goes
from Hyatt to the park.
That's when Shag learned that you were the megaphone lady. And I said, do you not listen to any of the podcasts?
I know.
Well, we all know Lee's the megaphone lady.
Unless
Lee doesn't need a megaphone. She is a megaphone.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Here's the thing about, you know, not being a dick. Okay, don't be a dick, people. If you're in the parade, you know, if we want to talk about, you know, the item that you created and it was really cool, you know, talk to us. There was this guy who made that giant unicycle, you know.
Oh, God, that thing was awesome, but scary.
I know, but you know what? It's like, so I was talking to the chick that was driving it, and then he made this like little like unicycle motorcycle thing, and it ran on, you know, petrol and everything. And I'm like, oh, hey, where did you get, you know, because he had a replica old bike saddle. He goes, oh, you just get him online. I'm like, okay, dude, you're being an asshole. So guess what? His shit broke down. Both items fucking broke down. It's like, don't be a fucking dick. So they actually had to push the giant unicycle, and he had to like pretty much sort of walk his little motorcycle because he couldn't. I guess he had it geared to a higher RPM, I think.
So he couldn't.
You know, have it like going 10 miles an hour and stuff. So I made sure that I was biking circles around that asshole.
Thing to know here is don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. You know, the thing is I was taught, get this. Okay, here's the cool thing. I was talking to
here.
Yes.
Soundboard.
Yeah. So the steampunk people were right next to the guy with the Mach 5. And that guy was super nice.
I don't like him.
Super nice. So we were talking and stuff. And that's when Stan Lee pulls up. He's like, I'm going to get the Mach 5. And you're not going to say no. So I actually got to high five him. It was really cool because I was standing right there.
No,
so,
you don't say no. You're like, oh, you're the dude that's in all the Marvel movies and has like a tiny little part. Who are you again?
Are you famous? Wow.
What you say to Mr. Lee is, Mr. Lee, are you sure? Because look, you got Spider-Man and Mary Jane right beside you.
Well, anyway, he got in pretty quick and, you know, got pictures and stuff. And then he needed help getting out because it's a low.
Anybody would need help getting out of that thing.
I know. But the thing is the guy who owned the Mach 5 was a really nice guy. And the guy with school motorcycle thing was a total dick.
So the Mach 5, was that a converted vet?
I think so.
That was?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then there was the armory thing that like made a lot of noise because it went all over the place.
Was it the tank?
The tank.
That was tank. Cool. Yeah. Oh my God. I talked to those guys too.
Did you get to meet the armory people?
No, I had no free time whatsoever. My one free moment was going back to the hotel room to write something about Solve List. That was pretty much it. So.
Yeah. Our zine went over well.
Yes.
Yeah.
The zine was fantastic.
Yes.
I had some guy come up to me, goes, I read the zine while standing in lines. It's great. I'm like, oh, thanks. So that was nice.
Was this such a success that there will be a number two next year?
Yes, there will be. Actually, I'm planning on, we're going to try to do two a year. So there'll be like a winner issue.
Really?
So where are we going to give away the winner issue at?
Winter?
I don't know. We got that. You know, we could do that for next year.
My understanding is winter is coming.
Yeah, it is coming. Winter. Oh my gosh. Of which, did you see? Speaking of winter, apparently Terry Brooks' Sword of Shannara World's coming to TV. They're signing off on it.
Oh.
What is this?
Shannara. You know the Shannara books.
Yeah, you know.
Brooks.
Shannara the She-Devil, you know.
That wasn't the character Lawrence played on.
Sword of Shannara, the Elf Stones of Shannara.
Aaron.
So that was Martin's wacky neighbor, right?
Aaron, I think Rox has been drinking.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe I know Rox has been having some whipped cream.
So,
what is she talking about?
Books. I'm talking about books. Okay, so, all right, one guy, I had to give out a zine because one guy came up to me and asked if I got all the condoms out of my yard. He's a guy who listens to the show.
Now, weirdly, he never listened to the show at all. He was just, that was a weird come on line for him.
Actually, he was a huge Ryan Setzer fan.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay, so who got hit on at con?
I do.
Rox?
I always do.
Not me.
Aaron? Oh, John, you did too. You got hit on a lot.
That's because you like... I know. I think he likes saying that. I'm a lonely husband.
Hold on. When was I hit on? Please explain that because I have no idea.
The person who offered to buy you a drink at Trader Vic's?
Really? What was this?
So it was a guy, but you were still hit on.
What? I have no idea.
Oh, wow. Really, John? John, you should have taken the alcohol. It was free.
Yeah, but then you got to put out eventually.
We're outside smoking with
the guy. Oh, the guy that gave me the Cuban.
Tell him,
he was married, Lee.
He was just
hitting on John.
He was just a nice guy.
I think he was like a, you know.
He overheard me talking about cigars.
Okay.
And he said,
Don? Is that my friend Don with the goatee?
No, it wasn't Daniel.
Daniel
had Taiwanese cigarettes this year. They were pretty good.
He had cigars last year.
You know, sometimes a cigar is just a penis.
That's what I understand.
Oh, wait, I mean a cigar.
That's the takeaway from Casablanca, which you'd know if you'd watched it.
I did watch it.
Toughly, I don't know. Maybe you watched the Irish version, but I don't recall Rick's offering takeaway.
Well, he did say bitch a lot in an accent, so
that's
you know.
True.
No, he was all street. He was all like Paris street in that one.
And kind of a cross between a British rapper and.
What?
So, Toughly, what was your favorite part of Con?
Play it again, bitch.
And the movie Paris, Texas.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun at the panels and getting back and forth. I didn't have many problems commuting back and forth between panels. Some people did. I don't know why.
Weston has a real problem with getting people out of the hotel.
Aaron didn't have.
Oh, here's the weird
Aaron
thing about the Westin, though. Scott and I were at the Westin, and it was almost empty all of the days until Sunday. All of a sudden, they had I'm like, Scott, where did all these people come from? He's like, I don't know. They were empty. It was empty.
That's because that's when Saul of this was being.
And it was really, and I can see why the alt history and stuff, their rooms weren't that big. So they would always have to have somebody at the door so that people just wouldn't barge in and stuff. So they always had like a guard. It was kind of strange. So, but,
Rock, yeah. Since you roomed with Scott Z, did he get laid on?
Not that I know of.
Oh, Jesus.
Rock's roomed with me.
We're never going to hear this again.
Yeah, I roomed with oh my God. So Ron scared the piss out of Scott.
Oh, God.
That's awesome.
So, okay, Wednesday night, I had John and Ron.
And she had them.
I had them, yes.
And you might want to get checked out.
So Ron likes to sleep in, I guess, all the time. So,
in other words, he never stops sleeping.
He never stops sleeping. So,
and Ron hits a fucking room, and it's like bags explode, and his shit goes everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was kind of like that. And he was there for, like, less than 8 hours. It was like, what happened to this room?
I saw Rock, and I go, you know, Ron is probably in bed, half naked, and your room is a disaster.
He was half naked. It's like we come walking in, and he's like, oh, and he's, let me get a shirt on. I'm like, no, don't worry about that.
I've seen man boobs. It's all right. Yeah, right.
He doesn't really have them.
He has the whole room darkened. So it's like this crypt. So I couldn't go to the swim thing because my Thursday dance card was full because Scott calls. I'm like, who is this? So, okay, here's the thing. Every time I'd answer my phone, I'm like, okay, who is this? Because I didn't plug anybody's numbers.
So you don't plug our numbers in. Good. Oh, Rock. Okay.
So Scott's like, it's me. It's Scott.
Person who made the phone list a couple of years ago doesn't actually have any of the phones.
Tuffley, here's a little thing. You know those survival tips that I give out? I don't take that to heart at all. By Sunday afternoon, people who didn't know me were feeding me. I'm not fucking kidding. It's like, did you eat? Here's a granola bar. I'm like, oh, thanks. Because they know I don't do any of this. So, yes. Yeah. So Scott calls up and he's like, oh, it's me. I'm like, you're here early. It was almost 12. So we were going to go to the pool. I'm like, oh, okay. So, well, okay, I'll deal. It was like, whatever. I'm like, cause then I got to meet up with Rob. So we go to the room, totally dark. And I'm like, oh, Scott, this is your bed. So there's this mound in the bed. And Scott's like, well, what's here? And he touches Ron and Ron jumps up. And Scott's like, ah! It was funny as hell. And naked man, I'm like, Ron, you need to go.
That's normally what happens when Scott enters a hotel room.
You need to go find your family, because this was the thing about Ron. It's like he has his entire family, from what I understand. So this was the only time he was going to sleep in a bed. So he was going to make the most out of it. So I'm like, you need to go. Because your family's probably looking for you. Because
I'm done with you.
I'm done with you. I need to go. You need to go now.
Just as me as I need.
You may go now.
I am discarding you like a used wrapper.
It's 12 o'clock.
By wrapper, we mean Jay-Z.
I've done that before.
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, okay, you can't stay over. You got to go. I'm not kidding.
No, don't offer to make me breakfast. Just get the fuck out.
Just get the fuck out.
You gotta go. I don't play slumber party. Go on. Bye.
No, you can't use my phone. Get the fuck out.
I'll call you. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'll call you.
Hey, I'm me. What do you want?
And Ron is still waiting by the phone, even now.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah.
Crying.
Nobody will call me.
Oh, you know what? Yes. Ron was nice, and I have to do that. I can't talk about DreamCon because we settled up.
You had the best drink at Meehan.
Oh my God, yeah, it was champagne and beer. It was great.
He, by the way, has about 100 t-shirts that wanted to be shipped to Lee as well from DreamCon.
Oh, we'll get stuff for next year.
Oh, okay, next year. There we go.
As long as they're not 67 goddamn pounds all in one box.
That would be about it. That'd be about what.
Oh, fuck.
Each shirt weighs about half a pound.
So I'm hysterical
that my husband jumped up during the Fun Fest to make sure that those t-shirts were thrown. So
I want them out of my house.
He's jumping up going, I'm throwing t-shirts. I'm like, okay, sweetie. Yeah.
So yeah, I got room for Wednesday, coming up Wednesday again. So
we're testing the idea of Wednesday for the room.
Mighty Bill liked it. He showed up, him and Aruka showed up for Wednesday because we saw them at the little meet and greet, and we saw Shag because he was working.
Yeah.
There's something about Wednesday which is nice. It is.
It was nice because you can actually talk to people without screaming at them.
Yeah.
See,
like, get out of my room, Ron.
No, you just find strange people in your room, and you know.
I didn't like Wednesday as much as I think Thursday. If you come up regular day on Thursday, you've got time to do things. Things are still going on, but it's not official. You can kind of go and you can do whatever you want, or you can be as in or as out of con as you want to be.
All right, here's what we did for Wednesday. Here's what we did for Wednesday. I got into Atlanta around 9, and I got my hotel room, and I took a nap. Oh, no, I had to get my bike, so I had to put that together. Then I took a nap waiting for Lee and John to call.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, they got the phone call. We're going to go lunch. So I took another nap. I'm like, oh, God, where are they? So I call them up. I'm like, all right, if I take another nap, I'm done. I'll be gone for the rest of the day. So I'm like, I'll bike up to, you know, the Vortex. So I did my city ride.
That was so good.
All the way around.
So Rox.
Yes.
Question. Are you on your bike right now? Because I hear a lot of wind.
Oh, that's my fan. Sorry. Okay. So no, we had a leisurely lunch.
Yeah.
And then we hung out. John and I and Ron. We went up to Little Five.
Yep.
That's pretty
John
cool.
Fell old.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, God, yes, John and I did. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. I always feel old in Little Five.
Really?
Why? Because I am old.
Hold on. Time out. By the way, a little look behind the curtain here. There's always chat going on behind the scene. But
where'd that come from, Aaron?
Aaron just put up fairy muff. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
It's rhyming slang for fair enough.
Oh.
Okay.
See, again, he's being all straight.
Okay.
Yo.
Street.
He got cred.
Yeah. Fairy muff. I don't. That sounds like a costume I don't want to see.
It sounds like a costume I want to see.
Exactly.
Sounds like a Dragon Con
weekend.
John,
did you see the crosses and the bronies?
My
God, they were everywhere. Bronies.
They were everywhere, and they were awesome.
Somebody pointed out, and I actually had to think about this. There was a serious lack of costumes this year, it seemed like. Or at least costumes I cared about.
Where
I would say that there was a lot of norms there this year. I have a sad feeling, a sinking feeling that the con is turning into a Comic Con in the sense that people are going to see shit, but they're not participating.
Do you think that might have been because of the guests or?
I think the con is becoming popular. I think it's becoming a cool place to go to.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's gotten so big
now.
Well,
you know, here's the thing.
Oh, you fucking hipsters.
It's Burning Man. I discussed this earlier in the year. Burning Man sold out. So now they're coming to Dragon Con.
Well, but there's also, if you think about it, Labor Day weekend has PAX, Bumper Shoot.
Yes.
PAX, Bumper Shoot, Burning Man, and Dragon Con. Those are the four major cons I know about.
What's Bumper Shoot?
It's in Seattle. It's a...
Okay. Yeah, but my sister who lived in Seattle said... She thought the cons there were kind of oddly attended.
Seattle is an interesting place.
She's like, you'd think it'd be packed because they went to a couple of them and she wasn't really impressed. She's like, they don't really dress up or anything. But you know what? Comic-Con really doesn't.
No,
I don't
Comic-Con's...
know. I saw. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say Comic-Con is just an industry show that they happen to let
me. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what costumes did you want to see?
I saw the guy. Actually, Kim pointed this out. There was a guy who was one of the voices in Mass Effect that actually cosplayed as his character in Mass Effect.
Yes, he did. Another voice actor did that as well. Voice actress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't know. You guys are saying you saw. I actually saw just as many as ever, except I've always said that it's only about 20% of the con that dresses up. I think we had a couple. We had more people this year. I still think we had 20 people. 20%
There was about 100 people at the con. Yeah,
that's about right.
All right, yeah. Here's my theory.
One other thing, Aaron. I think when more of the cosplayers were out, you were in your room watching Doctor Who or drinking a little whiskey drink, a little vodka drink, a little cider drink.
Did you walk 500 miles, Aaron? Did you walk 500 more?
I would walk 500 more, John. I have to say the nighttime I was spent doing awesome things. But yeah.
Awesome things is his penis.
Yeah.
Yes. No, others,
how was,
that means
how was
people
the,
were doing
actually,
awesome
how was the karaoke this year?
I did not go because last year I was so disappointed in the wait time. If you have to wait over 4 hours to get on stage, not worth it.
No way, really? Now,
Aaron, you mean you didn't show up and flash your guest badge?
I know.
Ooh. Well, Jesus, I mean, it was an option available to me, but then my friends wouldn't be able to do it because they wouldn't be as cool as me.
You could be a group.
you should
have
done
this bird flies solo.
Aaron Poole and the Poolettes.
Well, I know.
It's harder to do Eminem.
No, Aaron and the Puddles. Jesus.
Puddle.
Well, that's right. Awesome things that you were addressing earlier.
My
theory of degrees.
Oh, sorry, someone was calling out my name. I know this happens a lot, but who was it?
I'm sorry, Lee, were you making a reference to Tool's 4 degrees? Because that would be really disturbing.
Yes.
I was saying Aaron in the deep ends.
I said Aaron Fever and the degrees.
Okay, never mind.
Hey, we need to incorporate derelict, so...
Again, a joke that should have stayed in my head.
Aaron Poole and the derelicts.
Keep it in your pants, John.
John, I heard a little birdie tells me that you weren't happy with your performance at Solve This.
I was extremely unhappy with my performance at Solve This.
Why?
Can I point
That's
out...
That's bullshit, sir.
For those that, for
I
those that don't know, first of all...
For those people that wanted to come and meet John. And
again, let's hear from the man himself. John, what's going on?
First of all, I completely... fucked up. I got my Steves mixed up when Widge gave me the $6 million man thing. I said I was going off Steve Rogers when I should have been going off of Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, yeah.
John, you did that with Gollum and Golems too. So we're good with that.
But I don't think he killed any comedy, though. You know what I mean?
I am comedy killer. That's okay. I'm not fishing for anything. Let's keep move on past it because I just keep playing over.
John,
and over
I
my
doled
head.
Out $60. I doled out $60, and I didn't fucking win.
It's not that. It's just that I didn't. There was a couple of times where I didn't yes and it annoyed me because I was like, oh crap, why did I just kill that? Anyway, so that's it. That's all.
But it's always important to yes and instead of maybe but.
See, I don't mind my Alan Davies rank on Solve This. That's why I
see. You do a little bit, Rox. A minute bugs you. It totally bugs you.
That's why I gave out $60.
Well,
damn.
Well, see, that's why she has helped me, Rox. So the confidence boost. Or she can have her own damn show or she can dispense help that, you know, people can ignore.
Don't
help
really
me, Rox. Yes.
Yes, where I don't even take my own advice.
You know, wait a minute, Rox. Hey, Rox.
Holly actually said, "Here, have part of my sandwich. Just eat the other side." I'm like, okay. Nice.
Hey, Rox.
Uh huh.
If John wanted to get help on his Solve This performance, where could he call?
Oh my gosh, you can call 404-382-0769. Call.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody check.
I just want to say nobody brought me any flower seeds or flowers.
You don't my bring me flowers.
Oh, the con was a failure now.
Well, wait, does this count the wedding?
I don't know, Lee. hold on. You were showing me stuff.
And by that,
she means her vagina.
No, no. Lee got some really, I don't know. I still don't know. This is stuff like I would get. You got a parcel.
I think I know who gave me that. I basically, I got a call from my hotel. And there was a package for me. So I went downstairs the next morning.
Parcel. We're all with these people.
Parcel.
Yeah.
And it was a book of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a CD of music, like a mix CD, and two newspaper articles, both in different languages. So I have an idea of who it's from.
Oh, my God. Harp magazine.
Was there a pizza delivery man?
Oh yeah, and a Harp magazine. No, there was no
hooker.
Oh wow.
Hooker?
I asked the one you actually thought of, and he said no. He didn't even have time to do it. No.
What?
Really?
Lee thought it was one of us.
What?
And I. Yeah, I know. Like we have time, Lee.
Yeah,
I mean,
really,
dear God.
Lee.
I couldn't even if I knew Cosette needed flyers, I would have done it. But you know.
No, besides that, we just sort of shipped it to your house.
No.
God. I kept waiting. I kept waiting for shit to show up at my house. I just kept waiting.
Well, Lee, just keep waiting.
Okay.
Waiting.
Yeah.
It'll arrive at your house when you least expect it.
No, Rox is saying it is not that person. So whoever gave me that was a very sweet present. Thank you. I don't know what it means, but it's thank
weird,
you.
Weird, cool stuff.
By the way,
I wish I could get stuff like that.
Really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea what it was, but it was cool. Yeah. I'll read.
Oh my God!
At some point,
you know what I really okay. If I was going to spend the money to get a celebrity picture, I would have doled money out for that John Barrowman picture because
this guy was willing to do anything.
Oh my God! Yeah, after seeing Jason's picture. He's and his hands like are all over Jason. I'm like, and everyone's having a great time. Vicky's picture. He's got her like in this, like I'm, you know, hugging your soul out of you type picture. And
I
I'm
know,
like,
we were talking about
we have
that.
Eternity to hug your
I'm
soul.
I'm like, holy crap! I would spend the money just to get you know that type of photo from him.
But you know what? Yeah, when it comes to Concord, that guy was patient zero.
Oh my God! Yes, he was. And there you go. If we can anonymously send John Mabry an idea, you know, how a celebrity can infect people, it would be John Barrowman.
It would have to be anonymously because this whole entire podcast is not going to exist.
Yeah, I know. There's no podcast. It's all five minutes long.
Aaron, that just depends on what you think of G4, whether he should serve for Concord.
Yeah.
He only had to go host Attack of the Show after Con, so, you know.
Fucking podcast haiku going on here.
So G4 is going away.
Yes, it is.
Oh, what? When did this happen?
It couldn't happen to a nicer television network that used to be better.
Oh, my God, yeah. Tech TV. Wow.
I love when Tuffley gets, like, evil and angry. It's always good.
Yeah.
He cuts them right to the bone.
Yes.
What?
Bitch.
Oh, by the way.
G4, which is, you know, the home of the American Ninja time trials, is going away.
What? Actually, no longer is. Actually, the American Ninja is actually on NBC.
Wait a minute. Michael Dudikoff has moved to NBC? Wow.
Yeah.
Dudikoff.
So can I read Kong?
Well, you know, Leno took a
pay cut.
Wow, that was too obscure for this podcast. Fuck me.
No, I got it.
I got it. It just wasn't funny.
Well,
can I read the songs on my mixtape?
Yes. No.
Songs? Whoa. There's psalms on your mixtape?
I have a mixtape, and I have, like, songs.
Songs.
Is it an actual tape?
It's a CD.
I saw this with my own eyes. I'm like, wow, why don't I get weird crap
I'm serious. I just went upstairs and got all this shit. It's really cool. Whoever gave it to me. So, Take Me Home, Country Roads, America.
Take Me Home.
The Limbo Dance.
Sounds like stuff you would listen to, Lee.
Love Me Tender, Rhinestone Cowboy, Forever in Blue Jeans. Crazy for You, Gypsy Girl, Hooked on a Feeling, Hot Sexy City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
care enough to stock the very best, call Kato.
Let it be looking for Nightwalker. Summer, these boots were made for walking. You've lost that loving feeling. I believe with somebody
knows you, Lee. Somebody knows.
And then inside on the CD, it's written David Hasselhoff. I've been scared to listen yet.
Wow. Oh, my God. Is that a David Hasselhoff CD?
Well, no, I'm wondering.
That's him doing all those songs.
Lee, man, you should. Why didn't you listen to it? You had a whole week.
No, I will. I know.
Well, you know, it's kind of like The Grudge, you know, the VCR tape. It could be the same thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the book. It's like an old version. It's very cool.
Everybody has to play the tape sometime.
And some Asian, I would assume Chinese, 27th, 2012, entertainment section of a newspaper.
Oh,
and American Harp Journal.
What were you thinking, Wedge?
I plead the fifth.
Rock said it wasn't that person. That's who I thought it was. So
I axed.
You axed. I didn't get a chance.
I axed.
Okay.
My axe.
We can just a street edition.
Yeah. Jesus. All right.
Now
so,
y'all make me wonder if it is David Hasselhoff. So I'm putting in the CD player. Hold on.
Oh God.
Are you putting the CD player on your?
Are you doing this now?
Yeah.
On your laptop.
Yeah.
Oh, good. The virus should take effect any minute now.
Oh, shit.
Hey, is that why you left the room for a couple hours, John?
No, it was to rub one out. What?
Huh?
What? I'm not remotely running your machine.
You're an assassin? What?
Hey, I'm not doing this now. You've made me now.
No, do it. We want to hear it.
Turn it on. Turn it on now.
Because I believe I learned a little while ago that I could actually hear your audio.
Uh-oh. On mine?
Yeah, I think so, because you use the new USB headset that allowed the... I think.
I like...
That's how, we can hear all the porn you've got playing in the background, Lee.
I don't have any...
She's putting it in now. Hold on. What were you doing again, Lee?
Porn.
I'm putting it in now. Stop it, Jonathan.
Yes!
Oh, Sammy!
Say, damn it. Sammy. I said it. Bastard.
You know, if you just kind of take pride in it, I don't think it would be as big a deal.
I know.
I don't mean to say it as often as I do. That's the real stuff.
Just say it like you own it.
Yep. If you say it, just say it loud and proud.
Bitch.
Bitch. All right. Let me see. Lee.
Well, we got to get done with Dragon Con.
Lee, can you hit play?
No. That's like difficult.
Holy crap. Well, you know, I have steam engines that are simpler than that.
Lee, can you ask Sammy to hit the play button?
Okay, guys, the CD.
This is the least exciting CD premiere party ever.
I'm not joking. The CD is named The Precious.
Precious.
The Precious.
Like I said, the virus should take effect any minute now.
Oh, the Precious virus. Is that what you're talking about, John?
Yeah.
Oh shit! That's hardcore.
It actually, what it does, it steals chickens.
Right.
Oh my gosh! Is that Precious by Sapphire?
That it sends to a summer camp where they have sex.
Yes. And
shut
then,
up.
And then
press the damn button.
And then, I'm trying.
And then it
you know who got laid at Dragon Con? Kidlip.
Wow! Aaron,
well,
how
you
do
know,
you know
those bathrooms in the Marriott? Man,
oh,
they're huge. You can have a dance.
Well, guess who's going to be popular after this one goes live?
Wow!
All of you.
Oh my God! That
hey, deserves
more beer.
How much sex going on in the Marriott bathroom?
I had a wide stance.
Oh my God, I hate you all.
Sweep the leg.
That's not funny. How funny, Widget?
Over guy.
Lee, did you press the
Lee, would you hit play already?
I'm a drone!
How can you be
playing?
Wait, what she's doing is she's got the mouse, and because she's so drunk, it looks like she takes the play button. Wait a minute. You know what? The precious virus, John, I think that makes the play button run around your screen so you have to chase it.
Hey, is that the precious virus by Sapphire?
Not opening it.
You're not using it. You don't have a touchscreen laptop. You have to use the mouse.
Using the mouse. Damn it.
Are you double clicking your mouse?
The media player. Shut up. You
can't put it in a Kindle either.
You sure?
Even a little box.
This is amazing. This is the best thing since ignorance.
It always went in before.
I can't find the Windows.
I had a problem getting it in before.
This does not happen to you normally.
Oh, here it is. Right. This media player.
You know how to use your computer.
Little box.
First of all, I'm on the little tiny thing, which doesn't have a CD player.
Okay, is that a Sibian? What?
Is that?
She's called in on her phone, guys.
Well, actually, if you place your phone on top of the CD, it will read.
Make sure you have a wide stance.
I didn't know if you do that.
You know, someone somewhere is trying that right now.
God, I hope so.
I've got it on vibrate. Call me again.
Okay, so I've got Bluetooth on, and I have it directly on the CD. And it's
well,
do
it's
I have to spin the CD myself?
Yes, you do. Shut up.
I don't think that's the spindle you should be using.
No, use a bindle.
CD players, folks.
Oh.
There you go.
Never mind.
All right, so can we talk Doctor Who yet? Are we done with Dragon Con?
Yes, let's talk.
Okay. I'm out of here. I'll see you guys. It was good talking.
I actually have a lot of fun as well.
Well, it depends. Which Doctor Who are we talking about?
Well, now I thought
The first Doctor.
Yeah, the first. I think we should go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, that was William Hartnell. Okay.
What?
Unearthly. We're talking about Unearthly Child.
We're talking about the original Doctor.
And the steampunk themes.
Warren Ellis.
So we're talking about the Asylum of the Daleks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, no, has everyone seen the second episode?
No, yeah. I haven't.
I have seen the second
episode. No, Tom,
what a surprise, John. You haven't seen it, really?
No, I haven't. I've not watched it yet.
Have you watched the first one?
No.
Okay, we're done.
Hey, John, have you seen this? What people can't tell is I'm giving him the finger.
And by that, he means, never mind. Fairy Moff. Anyway, so.
Oh, jeez.
Sammy!
Fairy Moffus.
Yeah, oh. Oh, speaking of which, so guess who left Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I don't fucking blame them either.
What the hell was that all about?
Because the amount of crazy fucking lunatics.
I didn't see. What did they do?
What happened?
Basically, there's this really stupid section of Doctor Who fans, quote unquote, who are on this rampage that Stephen Moffat is a misogynist. I don't know what fucking world they're living in.
He's better than what's his name.
They're trying to claim that every single one of his female characters are an insult to womankind.
What?
Now, they're trying to claim that River Song was turned into a woman who just like all she can do is fuck things up and lust after the Doctor. They claim that Amy Pond is the exact same thing. And they're saying they were giving out about how Nefertiti in the most recent episode, you know, oh, of course she like runs off with some guy, like, you know, because Stephen Moffat hates women and they think they should all be barefoot and pregnant. I swear to God, these lunatics need to get a fucking life.
Hold on.
He gave her a gun. She was smart. Hold on.
Toughly, go ahead.
Although, to be fair, I would actually like to see that episode of Coupling.
Nice. Nefertiti, what are you doing with all those batteries? So anyway.
Can I ask you a question? Because I don't know anything about Doctor Who, but I thought that Stephen Moffat was gay, isn't he?
No.
Are you thinking of
the other one?
Russell was.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking that, you know, Yeah, he does hate women. Maybe.
Whoa.
Maybe he does. I mean,
again, well,
hate's a strong word.
Well, I mean, I was saying if he was gay.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people whose vaginas I don't want to have. It doesn't mean I don't hate. It doesn't mean I hate them.
Well, I mean, I would say if you looked at Russell T. Davies versus Stephen Moffat, there's no comparison.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the mind fuck that Russell T. Davies did to Donna.
Right.
For anything that I have seen in Moffat stuff. And as somebody new to who.
Aaron, you collect vaginas?
See, I try to.
That's the thing we've learned tonight. If we that's
good point, Duffley. We can fall back on that if nothing else.
This whole subsection of freaks who think that River Song is a bad role model for women. It's completely fucked up. They look to the last episode of last season where she broke time and we all know the episode anyway.
Yeah.
Where she's supposed to kill him. They were looking at that and they were complaining, saying that how that made her a completely weak woman and all she wanted to do was lust after the doctor and how she had no purpose anymore, which I think was complete bullshit.
Complete bullshit.
These people,
the woman broke time. She's not an ineffectual character who's like, you know, had to be kept at home.
And it's not like she broke time by mistake. She basically had a reason to do so.
Yeah. She broke time to, like, you know, to prove to the doctor that, you know, he was an important person. If she puts her mind to it, she will destroy the world prove a point. You know what I mean? Like, that is not an ineffectual, like, crazy woman. Oh, that bitch is crazy. She doesn't know what she's talking about because she's a woman. No, that's a fucking badass who does what she has to do or does what she wants to do. I cannot understand it at all, but there is a huge, huge group of these Doctor Who fans, and they all need suffragettes to come back and punch them in their bitch ass face. Tell them what feminism actually is
seriously,
about.
Seriously, the biggest thing whiny bitchy Doctor Who fans need is like Stargate to come back.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
God, yeah. Come on.
That's what they need, because then they can go have a hobby and be occupied. And the rest of us can get on with watching our television show, okay?
Well, I mean, it's not even oh my god.
Well, I had no idea.
To compare it to Stargate, even look at Stargate.
Hang on, Brox, go ahead.
Okay, if you look at it this way, because of the reboot of Doctor Who and having, I'm a fan of Donna Noble's character. You know, she was a strong character. And Moffat's stuff, he gave us a one-shot, Sparrow character, whatever her first name was. She was great. She was really great. But,
Sally Sparrow.
Yes. Yeah. She was a great character for a one-off. That mom for the World War II one, she was great. So I'm sorry. Awesome. And the thing is because of Doctor Who, we've gotten really strong characters in Warehouse 13. You know, we have at least four major female characters in Warehouse 13. They're all strong female characters. So where these people are coming from, I have no idea.
Well, and Rock,
plain crazy.
I'll add to that the companion fake out from the hotel episode.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, so Tuffley, what were you going to say?
No, I was I'd said the whole Stargate thing. I think I've been referencing this since the reboot, actually, because a bunch of people complained about the first episode and Rose and blah, 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 blah. And I at that point, I said that Stargate fans, having been the previous holders of the internet's whiniest sci-fi bitching society, have been dethroned.
I need to point out that it's not just even Doctor Who. They're having a go at Moffat across the board. They're having a go at his female characters in Sherlock too. I'm going to read out a post here that got like a shit ton of reblogs on Tumblr. Now, I posted a long retort to it because it really pissed me off.
But it was, hey guys, remember the answers to both A Scandal in Belgravia and Doctor Who Season 6's Mysteries, where women are dangerous creatures whose emotional frailties will be everyone's downfalls. Yes, even their own, because they can't see past them. Remember how both of these mysteries were about whittling down strong, complicated female characters until we established that they really were the romantic, foolish things we all know they are? Like, this is how people are reacting to the awesome, awesome female character in Scandal by the Belgravia.
Yeah,
like,
Irene really Adler, which is amazing.
See, I thought the major answer to Scandal in Belgravia was over cell phone usage.
Yeah.
Having a good texting plan.
That data plan was unrealistic.
Yeah, I know.
That data plan is unrealistic. No, Sherlock Farmer Crofts.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't work on AT&T because you couldn't get that much coverage. But and they obviously weren't using a Samsung. But anyway, sorry, I had to get in.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know. I think they're absolutely insane. I mean, it's, if you're like, there's like no stronger female character around than fucking Irene Adler from Scandal in Belgravia. Yeah. I mean, shit.
Well, look at River. You can look at Amy. I mean, there are frailties in each of them, but those are just the same as any other character that he has written. I mean, I would much rather have Moffat write. Yeah, they are. They're very human. And I would much rather have Moffat write somebody. I mean, I saw somebody today who put up, you know, has Amy Pond never heard of adoption? Well, yeah, but the issue is, as she said, and I've had friends who've gone through this, you've always said you wanted your child. That's the way she's looking at that in Asylum of the Daleks. And that's why she does what she does. Whether I agree or not, I can see her viewpoint.
Yeah, two things. First, it was really interesting. I did. I went and discussed my novel with a book club group that was all women. And one of them pointed out, you know, you're very hard on your female characters. And I was sort of stunned by that because I went, well, you know, my male characters don't have a really great time of it either. It's just like, did you read?
Yeah, none of them are having fun here. Yeah,
yeah. It's not, you know, my characters all obey the three laws of thermodynamics. So, so I think it's, you can always find something in there. It's the old adage of, if all you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. If you're coming at it from a certain angle, then you're going to see whatever you want to see and pretty much fiction, you know, literature, movie, television, whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say to talk about Asylum of the Daleks, it didn't work for me. That whole breakup thing, I'm like,
I wasn't thrilled with it. No.
I did not believe. Now, whatever reasons aside, because yeah, I mean, it doesn't make. First of all,
I don't think the fact Amy not having kids now would break them up. I would think the fact that Amy and Rory have a kid and don't have one now would be the thing that breaks them up.
Yeah, but they didn't play with that, you know?
Yeah.
It just seemed to me, you don't have one of you wait for 2,000 years and the other one, you know, wait and erase herself and then go, we're having a bad day, let's break up. I mean, I'm just like, that doesn't work for me.
I think there were other issues with that episode too, because I think that was a part of it. I also just kind of kept wondering, how does this happen? I mean, from the Dalek perspective as well. So I had some issues there, but we've had that issues also with Cybermen. How do you keep your humanity as they are trying to make you a cyber person or a Dalek? And I think that was a question that I had more than almost anything else.
Although,
how Amy keeps supposedly can't keeping a job, but what we keep seeing her being as a model. So I'm not understanding that either.
All I can think of is they were trying to play up some sort of post-traumatic stress thing that just did not play out. That's what I was thinking they might be going with, because years ago there was the episode where the people would get together that have dealt with the doctor for a brief amount of time. So all I could think of is a touch of, okay, this is what happens when he's not in your life. You know, life is not as exciting as you thought it was. You know, you're mundane and stuff. I mean, they played on that for X-Files too on an episode early on, but they didn't really expound on it.
Yeah.
They didn't. And so to me, okay, I can see them trying that, but it didn't play out because I was confused too. I'm like, oh, maybe they are doing this stress disorder, yeah. but it's not going.
Okay. I really didn't put that much thought into it. I just thought, well, the last job she had was a kissogram.
Well,
so,
this is true. She had shit-o jobs.
The modeling is probably a step up from that.
Well, but that's just it. But she said she gives them up after so many times. And it's like, wait, that's not what we're seeing. Or that's not what we've seen in two episodes where the doctor supposedly has gone back and seen them.
I think what it is that Amy keeps – and she said as much in the second episode. Amy keeps waiting for the doctor to show back up.
Well, yes, I agree.
So it's gotten to the point now where –
she's a junkie.
Both Amy and Rory can function quite well without the doctor, as we saw in the second episode. But it just seems like, as hard as he tries not to screw Amy up, the doctor has screwed Amy up as much as not coming back for her in the first place.
Yes.
I think that is a question because we can go back to the episodes of how about somebody who doesn't hate me or somebody I haven't screwed up? And what we
right.
see is.
Yeah.
Amelia. Right. We don't see Amy. We see young Amelia.
Yes.
And I think that is a point. I mean, but I was not thrilled with the first episode. I've watched it twice. I'm still very about it. I adore.
Did you not think Oswald was badass though?
No, she was. But here's a question about that. Here's my problem with that. Okay, first of all, I like the concept of a planet of Daleks that even Daleks are scared of. I kind of like that. And I like the idea that you bring in the other thing that you're scared of, the doctor, to deal with the thing that you're scared of. I like the concept of it. My thing was that Oswin, if she's been fully integrated into the system of the asylum, and of course, by now, spoilers, if you haven't fucking figured it out, but all our right. listeners at home, but if you've been completely integrated into the system.
Hey, Widge?
Yeah.
What if the listeners aren't at home? What if they're in their cars?
Well, then they shouldn't be watching Doctor Who while they're driving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so if she's been completely integrated into the system, a system that was basically designed to keep the Daleks in check, why is she in a room in chains?
Yeah.
Ladies.
Although, maybe because they knew it wasn't taking. But wait, I was
taken from that she... She when she was saying she was hacking into the system,
yeah.
it's not because she was already hooked up to the system. I think as a Dalek, she actually hacked into the system, but she was smart enough to do it because she wasn't like she was able to do it because she was a Dalek.
She was okay,
you know what I mean?
So in that case, who locked her up then?
The other nut jobs.
Well, no, wasn't she like I assume that whoever was like changing her into a Dalek and put her on the planet was the people who chained her up.
Okay.
Well, but then we still get the issues of her barring the door.
Know that she crashed. It was all right. And we found out from what was the Earth one with Davros that Daleks do go insane because there was that one babbling one.
Right.
So I'm sure it was one of the crazy ones that did this and then just malfunctioned, left her.
Right, but if they fully integrated her into the system because she was a genius, why would they allow her to keep hacking? And why? I mean, none of that worked for me. I mean, I understand what they were trying to do, but
she hacked it so that things weren't working for them. The only thing that the only thing that was working was the shields. Everything else was defunct. You know, their weapons weren't working, so they weren't even getting a power source for themselves.
And you got to remember, a lot of what she was saying was imaginary to her, too.
Yeah.
So she's an untrustful narrator in the sense that, like, what she's saying, a lot of it can just be what's going on in her head. We know she managed to access the other Dalek interface, I guess, and wipe the Doctor out of their memory. But who's to say that that isn't possible for every Dalek to do.
So that brings up an interesting question. Now, did she just do that for the Daleks, or did she go like X-Men in the Siege Perilous Australia sort of thing?
No, I think it was just the Daleks because remember, everyone thinks he's dead, and which is why in the second episode the database shows that he's not worth anything. That was my assumption, is that that he's assumed to be dead, and well, the Daleks still remembered him.
Well, they'd still be able to pull up records.
But she wiped it.
But she wiped the Daleks. That's what I'm saying.
She wiped the Daleks, but
I don't know. I think she may have gone further and did which I like, because she may have been able to do a total reboot in a way. If that works, then that would be across the board. That would include Centaurans,
So the doctor did give a kind of a not a smug smile, but a wry smile when it came up with no answer for him. Like, that's kind of how he had planned it. So I got the impression it was because they thought he was dead. Now, like you said, if someone's dead, there should still be records of them. But I suppose, what's something dead worth to you? So maybe he was just saying that he's not worth anything.
I
was just going to say, if then Nefertiti would certainly be dead. And she shouldn't be in the database.
Well, it's entirely possible that the doctor has separately erased records of his own existence as well.
I have a feeling we might hear more about that record thing in more episodes, though, because I have a feeling that's going to be kind of a theme this year.
My only problem was when he came back up, and they're like, "Who are?" I didn't believe that. It's like, but he was just here, this guy, even though you have no records of him.
Well, it's the same thing if you erase a hard drive.
Right.
Yeah, they're computers rather than like people with memories, you know?
But I don't believe that they're supposed to be some horrible little humanoid-y bag of pus.
I don't know. I just kept thinking that we went back to them saying Doctor Who, him saying Doctor Who as he's wandering around the TARDIS, and the blue head in the box saying Doctor Who.
Oh, that was a definite callback,
It was a total callback, and you're just like, all right, we're waiting on the fields of whatever.
Right. So,
which I guess we're getting to in the 50th episode or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. So everybody saw episode 2, yes?
Yes.
But before we go away from the first episode, zombie Daleks, come on.
Oh, I know.
Zombie Daleks, come on.
Oh, yeah, and zombie Daleks in imaginary worlds where one of them is a ballerina, and then you see the Daleks spinning around like a ballerina. That was gold.
Wait.
That was kind of crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, so dinosaurs on a spaceship. Let me just ask this, and I guess this is a question for mostly Rox and Tuffley, but I know you guys have watched a lot of other classic episodes. Was this had the feel of like the sort of thing that they would have done in a classic Who had they had the budget?
Because they did. It was Doctor Who and the Dinosaurs, which it was a John Pertwee episode.
Okay. This one felt a little closer to a Tom Baker episode, though.
Yes, but it has been kind of done. With the whole arc in space type of thing.
It kind of felt like one of those kind of Douglas Adamsy kind of Doctor Who's, where it's got that somewhat over the top joke humor in there, it's weird enough where it actually works. And so,
yeah, this was like one of the fun.
So that feels like a Tom Baker episode.
Yeah.
Oh, please tell me this is. I tried to Google images for the John Pertwee Doctor Who Dinosaurs episode.
It
was so terrible. So dinosaurs are.
Please tell me this is one of the images.
London. They evacuate entire London because of the dinosaurs, and actually, if you read the book, it plays out better. The Target book. Or the pinnacle book for Doctor Who and the Dinosaurs is a lot better than actually watching the really horrible effects.
You are correct. So that is actually a still from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really sad. Well, and I think the issue about this one,
the flying Whomobile in that episode as well.
I think so. Yeah.
I thought
that would be the TARDIS, but not going there.
But I like the whole Scooby-Doo gang thing. That was kind of cool.
I thought the gang was fun. This was just a fun episode. If this is an episode that you want to get somebody into Doctor Who watching, I mean, if you want to say, look, this is the fun episode, start here, and then we'll pull you in later, this is the one to go with.
And
fun, snarky, great lines. It was awesome.
The villain was more like what? The guy from Brain of Mobius?
I would say the villain was kind of a cross between all of the 70s and 80s villains.
Yes. Yep, basically. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Except this time he actually killed him on his own instead of some sort of weird.
That felt weird.
I liked it. That was weird.
No, that felt like a McCoy episode too.
Yeah. Or it would have, if you allowed what's his name to do it. Eccleston. I think he would have done it.
Is that the old doctor that will let you die? Or will give you something that will kill you? Because, I mean, that was very different to me than what I saw with Smith, the 11th Doctor.
Particularly with the 7th Doctor, with McCoy, you felt like a lot of those episodes where the Doctor was scheming to get to a point.
Yes.
And particularly, I think, maybe Greatest Show on Earth and probably the Dalek episode, where he actually intentionally – the end game was to get them killed, obviously. Yeah. So yeah, that ending feels a little more like probably a 7th Doctor kind of move.
Even a Colin Baker.
Yeah, even a 6, even 6. Troughton pulled that a couple of times too.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say that it was kind of cool to see an episode completely stacked with guest stars, because you had Mark Williams from The Fast Show. You had Rupert Graves from Sherlock, obviously. You had David Bradley from Potter, right?
Yeah.
And you had those Mitchell and Webb droids, which I thought were hilarious.
Oh, my gosh,
they were amazing.
And I liked, what's his, the dad. He played a
Mark Williams.
Part.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact of, bringing somebody else into the mix. And I thought the chemistry was really good in this.
I love the chemistry between the dad and the son. And I think I was reading something today, which is that's the dad who always has that tool or thing in his pocket that you think you don't
need. Sure. Yeah.
And I thought that was great. I love them bringing both those two people. That was great. Which harkens
back to the other one, the other female character, the one off. What was it? The planet one where she was that jewel thief. And she had the bag of multiple holding or unlimited holding that she had a shovel and stuff.
Oh, yeah. The episode where they're on the desert.
Yeah. She was a strong female character.
The problem was she was in a very horribly written episode.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm sorry, Planet of the Dead has no redeeming features other than that.
But man, that's the way my backpack is. And as Aaron will say, watching me pull crap out of that bag for Solve This. Yeah, that's how much crap I look.
Well, and let me just point out.
There's a shovel in there somewhere.
You just reminded me of something for those idiots who are like, Moffat's no good with female characters. All I can say is, the Silurian with the sword Victorian England.
Yes.
Also of the character that I want to read an entire series of 10 novels about, and that would be Liz 10.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Who's fucking awesome.
I guess that is where I'm very confused by Moffat. I would have understood that for Russell T. Davies. For RTD, I would not only understand it, I would agree with it, and I'd probably be somebody writing that. I don't understand it from often. I'm not saying they're perfect characters. I'm not saying they can't be better, but comparatively and looking through the lens of other female characters we have on TV, especially in sci-fi.
There's no way they're demeaning women. Sure. No. You could maybe write them better or what have you, but there's no way he's being misogynistic and demeaning these women. These are some badass women.
If he was going to be demeaning, they would have a gag ball every single episode. I mean, really.
Well, it would stop being a family show, actually.
It would be stopping a family show.
Exactly. That's actually in Scott C's script that he submitted.
Is that the
rocks?
Yeah.
Rocks. I hate to say it, and sorry, John Barrowman, but that would have been Torchwood.
Right. Yeah. And I would say very honestly, if you look again, the difference there between the female characters in Torchwood versus the female characters in Doctor Who, I don't like them as much. I don't. There is a huge issue between that.
Well, on a whole, Steve
Davies versus Stephen Moffat. It is a difference in who's writing it.
Well, okay. So
hang on. Let me just interject something. Mr. Barrowman, in case you're listening, we do love you. All right, go ahead.
We weren't so crazy about Torchwood.
We never cared about half of the characters on that show anyway. There was nobody cared about anyone on that show.
When the strongest female character you have on that show, the strongest female character you have on that show is when Martha guest stars on it.
That's
not a good sign.
I thought Barrowman was the strongest female character on that show.
I wasn't counting him.
Okay.
He's a pearl in many ways.
You have so many issues with Torchwood that I can't even start there comparatively.
I want to know where these people – I'd like to see what their logical
– what do they think
is on per episode. I mean, what is the thing that they point out and say, here is where he's doing it wrong?
I think what they're going through, and I think Aaron, I don't know, because you said they were going back to some of his other shows.
They were bringing Sherlock into it as well.
Yeah, they were bringing Sherlock. Okay, I think the thoroughbred is, and this started with, and this was, I think this kind of, I read some of this. This kind of started when Moffat was going to assume taking over the show, and there were some people that were talking about the way coupling had been written. And I think the answer to that, though, was that coupling was not written from the point of view of the women.
No.
Coupling was written from the point of view of Steve. So.
Well, and coupling is also a very different show, very different characters in a very different scenario than Doctor Who.
And I think if you go further back, if you look at something like Press Gang, which nobody on this podcast is probably – Aaron, have you seen Press Gang?
Nope.
Okay. I'm alone on that one. But Press Gang, where it was a bit different, where, you know, the male characters were sort of outnumbered by the female characters. So I'm not sure where that's coming from either. So,
well, I mean, it's the same argument. I mean, if we're going to tear apart things of this nature, I mean, it's the same argument you can make with Sorkin with the new show he's doing.
You could do that with any show. I mean, dear God, you could actually, Widge, you can attest to this. Sex in the City is a demeaning. I mean, come on. Not all of us want to buy shoes.
But to set Sex in the City apart from this discussion, Sex in the City is demeaning to everyone.
Well, this is true.
And I'd like to point out that Rox actually wants to buy shoes with weapons in them.
Right. I want that blade shoe.
The Q collection.
The Q collection shoe.
It's coming.
It'll be there. Just wait. I saw that and I just don't understand how this idea of, and I guess what bothers me more is this idea of bullying versus constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Which is an issue I have with it. Look, if you think, as I think we've discussed many times, what RTD did to Moffat is the worst. I'm sorry. What RTD did to Donna, to me, is the worst character assassination I've ever seen in a character.
Right.
I was as upset about that as I was upset about her demise. I don't have that with these characters. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Bro. Lee, what you have to remember is that when Catherine Tate said she was leaving.
Yes.
He specifically said, write her out in a way that'll make people cry.
Well, you could have made me cry in a lot of different ways, not tears of anger.
I know.
But, I mean, but I guess that's the issue is there is a difference between saying, I don't like how you wrote Donna out because Donna had grown so much and to do this seems to send her backwards and there's not the growth. And we even see that non-growth later in the episode about the wedding and, you know, she hasn't grown. And we saw this amazing growth. And that's what I wish I had seen. That's a constructive criticism. The right. bullying of you don't write good female characters and how dare you even try is just kind of a bullying that doesn't make any sense. And I actually hoped Moffat would come back to Twitter or come back to whatever and say, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm staying here because I'm going to listen to you. I can just put out whatever the hell I want. By the way, who's the one who's making megabucks doing this shit? Not you.
Well, and I'd like to point out that the plan B that they had for getting rid of Donna was to have her go out insulting Mark Harmon, which also would have made you cry.
Yeah.
That made me cry. You know what? That would have made me cry, but I could have seen Donna doing it.
Yeah.
That would have been all right.
Oh, Lee, I just can't tell you anything, but just wait.
All right, I'm waiting, Rob. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for this.
I'm saying I don't hate Moffat for how he's written female characters.
I want this to kick off. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm waiting.
Just remember, most everything that RTV has done in the series has been undone or rewritten in the new series.
There, literally Donna and Amy are my two favorites, so if they can make me love Donna again or not be as angry, and it's not love Donna again because I still love Donna, well, not as angry, I would be ecstatic.
I'm trying to work out the timing, Rob. The Office will be done filming very soon, so yeah, I can see that.
Well, my only thing is I am concerned that we're going to have a and hopefully this is just a fake out, but what I see happening is I can see them killing Amy as a way to get her out of the series and Rory too. So
yeah, that is,
I mean, the thing is I almost have to, I would almost agree with that because, you know, they're doing this, you know, we're back on Earth. We're not really traveling. Oh yeah, we are traveling. I don't like the yo-yoing.
Yeah.
Sometimes companions.
No, I know. Here's a question, and this is a question for all you Whovian people because I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know Rob, you had said that Moffat wanted to screw around with the concept of the companion to do something different, and I have a theory about that, which I can talk to you about later. But knowing what I know, having seen the first two episodes, but. My question is, has a companion, because we know and we've discussed.
Did I just drop that being a
No, you're here, Tuff.
No, we just lost Widge. Because he started talking and making a point. This podcast cannot have anybody making a point.
Who is actively suicidal.
Okay, Widge, we did not hear any of that part until you got to
your whole sentence. He asked if there was ever a companion that was suicidal.
There was like actively suicidal. I'm with the doctor because I know it will eventually get me killed.
I don't know. Turlo?
So like death by police
Turlo?
Officer?
Not really Turlo.
Turlo's object was to get off the planet.
Maybe Aiden. Civilian.
How about what? Aiden?
Adric, you mean?
Adric, yeah. Yeah, Adric.
Could you say Rory is successfully?
He kind of committed suicide. You know, he kind of committed suicide.
Yeah, but he wasn't there to commit suicide. He was just there.
Spoilers.
There's a difference.
Spoilers.
What? It's 25 years ago? All right. Well, here's my question. Have we ever seen a companion, and I think about Sarah Jane, who after they're no longer a companion has a life?
She kind of had, yeah. All right, this is the thing. This is me bringing back the whole PS, you know, post-traumatic stress thing. Yeah, because she, you know, that one episode when she came back, which I thought was great, you know, they do know that their life is not the thing. And that's why she went hunting. I know, but here's the thing. This is why she went looking. And that's the same thing why those people, the people that have their own, you know, hi, I met the doctor, you know, AA club.
So you can't
do the same thing. You can't. And same way with that one chick that died, and she met him, and all he did was tell her to run.
Tell her to run in the woods. Yeah.
Same thing. She was changed. Well, none of these people will ever be the same.
Well,
go ahead, Rob.
Keegan left for one story and then came back in the next one. this is in the Davison era, and they kind of, and she did kind of talk about, God, I missed doing this. You know, I have a life. Do I want to stick with my life or do I want to travel? They kind of explored it a little bit with the Fifth Doctor.
Well, I think in Tegan's case, when Tegan actually got left.
She got left.
She didn't actually, the first time she left, she was left.
Yeah.
And she, now the meetup in Amsterdam is a bit weird, but okay, I'll go with it.
All right, it's a TV show. Okay, you take the longest companion, which was Jamie. They had to wipe his brain for that because they knew, especially sending him back into what is it, 16th century Scotland. And same thing with Zoe, who was very bright. They wiped her mind from it too.
So this isn't the wiping of the mind like they did to Donna is not new.
No. Yeah.
That really sucks.
Brigadier died in an old age home, technically.
And the
right?
thing is they were in
waiting for the doctor to call or waiting for the doctor to visit.
That actually could be coming up as a point this series at some point.
Oh. So yeah, nobody.
There's a unit story coming. That's
That'd be nice. I like unit. Oh.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want them to kill off Amy and Rory, but I feel like I'm getting to the point of sobbing, Widge, much like you. Although you won't sob, you'll just be like, I can't believe they did that. But I'll be sobbing because.
You know, this is a horrible thing. I almost want them to go.
I kind of think it's time for them to go.
It's time for them to go because we know they're going to go. And I don't like the way they're handling this back and forth 10 months late. I don't like it.
And plus, I feel like
there's going to be a point made about the whole back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, cause they seem to be making it quite clear that they're stating like, it's been 10 months for a reason. Because they keep kind of bringing that sort of stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, and Aaron, I agree with you on that because I think there is some kind of a – it's going to come to a head at some point. You can't – you either have to take us or you have to keep – or you have to stay.
Well, sure. I mean, what's the point when they say, okay, you need to drop us off? Is it because, we need to mail out our rent check for the beginning of the month? When do they say, okay, we want to go back home? And why?
Well, but again, that
because
goes
we have a comfy chair.
Can you go back home anymore? But
that was a thing in this new episode though, where he was like, "Where to next?" And they were like, "Back home."
Yeah,
like that was at the end of the second episode.
They were that way, but then Dad wasn't.
No, I've seen
it.
Yeah,
you're gonna cry, Bucket. That's all I'm gonna tell you.
What?
You're gonna cry, Bucket.
I don't want to cry buckets anymore. I cry buckets at all these shows, and I'm the biggest fake ever.
Cry buckets. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I'm honestly just ready for them to go so we can get on with the next person.
Well, my sister said the same thing.
Yeah. Also, because I'm sorry, there's no way in hell Amy and Rory should beat Sarah Jane's record.
No, it's not even that. It's just like I said on the Doctor Who panel. There's a certain point at which if you're flying solo with a doctor, then you're taking your own life into your own hands, and that's fine. But when you've seen the person that you supposedly love more than anything else in the world die and or almost die as many times as they have, at a certain point you have to go, you know what, fuck this. We're done. And the fact that they're still coming along for the ride doesn't make any sense to me. This point.
Okay, but Widge, on this one, they didn't come along for the ride. All of a sudden, they're there.
I understand that, but here's the other thing that I don't get.
No,
I've seen the episode.
We've all seen it.
I'm sorry.
No.
So the question is, why does the doctor keep picking them up?
No, well, the question
because he hasn't found anybody new that's gelling.
Well,
Match.com.
Yeah. That was hilarious, actually. But even in the first one, they were like happy to see him. So I mean, it's like I just don't I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. They didn't seem like take us home this instant, you fuckwad. It was instead, okay, well, we're on an adventure. Oh, and my dad might get killed. I mean, I'm just like, no, no, that's not how you act when your dad's along for the fucking ride and you know what the shot is. You don't go, oh, dad, it's going to be fine. It's the doctor and you might get killed. No, trust me, dad. I've been killed like 4 or 5 times. It's cool. It's fine.
It's okay.
Would you not think because Rory has died a number of times and is still around that a certain level of bravado would set in with these people that they invincible?
No.
Because I think Amy said that is like, don't be scared. And she's like, who's scared? They're not scared anymore. And if you're not scared, that's a problem.
Patrick was one and so was Turlough.
But and here's the thing is I will say this, Rob, is that if they're that stupid, then they are too stupid to live is what it is. Right. And I won't be sorry to see one of them get killed because if they're that dumb, then one of them needs to die. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, it's not that they're that dumb, Wage. It's that they're too legit to quit.
Aaron, you must do the dance after you use that line.
You have to bring it street, man. Too legit to quit.
Yeah, make it street.
You got to make those parachute pants and do the sideways dance.
But, hey, leave him alone. He's got to pray just to make it today.
Please, doctor, don't hurt him.
Nice.
But I did love the dinosaurs. I mean, sometimes you need snakes on a plane and sometimes you need dinosaurs on
a
spaceship.
People bitching about that one, and I'm like, it was just a romp.
That was fun. I like that
better than Asylum. I thought it worked better than Asylum.
The ones that come back.
Yeah.
The Western one next week looks good too.
Okay, a question for the Whovians. Is it just me or is this like a huge callback to the really awful Gunslingers episode that I've heard so much about?
Well done.
Hey, William Hartnell looks cool with that hat. He does look cool.
I have to say, the only thing it ever reminds me of is that episode of Red Dwarf where they enter the kind of the 3D video game and they're all Western characters.
Back to Reality.
No, you're talking of the new one. I'm talking about season 3 or season 4.
Oh, Gunman of the Apocalypse? No. Better Than Life?
Better Than Life. No. No, it was the one where they all had like Western skills, like the cat had like knife throwing skills and shit like that.
Okay, all right.
And then Crichton was like infected by like a virus, and they had to fight the virus in this Western world.
Okay,
I will look up the name for anybody who's at home screaming about it. But
Westworld parody, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
one.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. But yeah, no, that's because the robot Gunslinger in this new Doctor Who episode just makes me think of Crichton in that episode.
Oh yeah,
he actually does.
Oh my gosh, that would be funny if they had Llewellyn play him. That'd be awesome.
But anyway, carry on.
I made that man run.
Well, if you can get Mitchell and Webb to play droids, then pretty much all bets are off, is what I'm thinking.
And by the way, just in case anyone's listening, please don't make that a show. They have enough shows, and just stop.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be funny if it was a number of years ago? They could have been the two Ronnies.
Wow.
Well, see, the weird thing about it was is that like Mitchell's voice, I didn't notice it was his voice until Webb spoke, and I was like, okay, this
same
is Mitchell
thing.
Webb.
No, that was saying, I thought I recognized that voice, but then Webb spoke and I went, oh shit, I bet they got that's Webb. I bet the other one's Mitchell. Sure enough it is.
But straight away, all I wanted to hear then was David Mitchell as a Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Wow.
Well, you know, they did that Hitchhiker's Guide live tour. There you go.
Yeah.
Which I hope they were going to fucking release something of because we didn't get it.
Fuckers.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, good. But yeah, so anyway, Rob.
Hold on. Is Lee gone?
Lee's gone. Don't make me edit anymore in this fucking podcast.
All right, edit it.
So, God, Brock.
I swear to God, this episode's only about an hour long so far.
Podcast haiku.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So just edit this out.
All right. Does anyone else want to say something that I have to edit out of the fucking podcast?
Yeah, bitch.
All right. So anyway, so yes, Rob, we've been discussing Doctor Who. So we went through both episodes. Yay.
Now, Rob, what is your take on the whole Stephen Moffat misogynist
debate that's going on? Because you know he left Twitter.
I knew he left Twitter. I don't think he's a misogynist on purpose.
Wow.
Honestly, I mean, I don't think he's a sexist or anything. I just think that, honestly, I hadn't thought about it that much because all of his characters to me seemed really strong. I tend to think that, you know, his weakness is writing female characters in the way that one of Neil Gaiman's strengths is writing women characters. I didn't really think anything of it personally. I just thought, oh, okay. But having heard the argument, I just think that he's probably more guilty of not developing them characters as well as other characters. I don't think he's purposely a misogynist. I mean, I can see the argument, and I think the more he doesn't deal with it, the more I'm torn, because the more he doesn't deal with it, the more he looks like one. But at the same time, he shouldn't have to put up with that bullshit.
Well, no, he shouldn't have to put up with dicks on the internet.
And as much of a feminist as my wife is, she doesn't think he's a misogynist.
Because I know a lot of people.
There's a difference between him being a misogynist and writing as a misogynist. I mean, the Doctor, if you look at all the Doctor characters, has always been somewhat of a misogynist. The way the Third Doctor treated his companion, the way the First Doctor treated his companion.
They
were kind of misogynist.
Number six.
You could argue that the only two Doctors that probably weren't misogynist were the McCoy Doctor and Troughton. You know, the way they wrote, and maybe Eccleston, but the way that they wrote Tennant and his relationship with Billy Piper, or his Rose, was kind of misogynistic. It was kind of like, you're going to bat your eyes and, you know, stand there and look great in your tight shirts. Of course, you know, but that wasn't Moffat. I mean, a lot of the things they're criticizing him for, he didn't even do.
But, going back to, like, say, the Hartnell. Now, you could say that the Doctor is misogynistic because you have somebody like Barbara and not even Susan, the supposed, you know, granddaughter, but you have Barbara always calling him on the carpet for all the stupid shit he does. So and that, to me, too. Makes her, of making her a stronger character, you know.
Yeah.
But see, Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Fair. After the Aztecs, they don't really let her do much like that.
No, I know.
They toned her down a lot. And then they brought in a couple other strong companions, and that didn't work, so they brought in Vicky.
Well, they also toned down the Doctor a lot, though, too, after the Aztecs.
Yes and no. I mean, his second season, he got really crotchety, and by season three, they had to tone him down.
Here's my question is that now he has normally been with female companions, yes?
Fair amount.
My question is, if you compare his treatment of female companions to male companions, Rory and elsewise, is it that he treats the females badly, or does he treat humans badly?
He treats humans badly, I would say.
I mean, it's interesting because his relationship with Adric and Turlough, who were both aliens, but humanoid, was not very nice. I mean, you could argue that he was very condescending to both of them.
But he was great with Jamie. If you wanted a great chemistry between two males, it was Troughton and Frazier Hines.
Frazier. Yeah.
That was great.
Because the only decent male companions they've written for were probably Ian, and then Stephen Taylor, and then probably Jamie.
Because the guy that played Harry.
Harry Sullivan was an imbecile. I mean, you could argue the Brigadier. But there's times where he's even patronizing to the Brigadier. And then Adric, he kind of has this mild tolerance for. He's like, you're in my TARDIS. I'm putting up with you.
I hated Adric.
Well, that's because, like everyone else on the planet, Tom Baker couldn't stand the guy. So,
none of us could stand
a lot of people. So that's.
My thing would be, and again, New Whovian talking here, but my thing would be that. He treats Rory worse than he treats Amy because, I mean, he calls him a pawn. I mean, it's as far as I know, I mean, however you want to fucking take names or whatever else, but I mean, he treats him as the wife. You know what I mean?
I think it's a term of affection, but he also reads that relationship pretty well. So.
But I think he sees Amy as much more of an equal than Rory. Although I will say that, you know, once you get Rory a Centurion guy, he kind of steps up. I mean, that's what I love about Rory is that he seems a bit milk toastish, but once you take what's his, essentially his wife, then he's like, all right, let's go kick fucking ass.
It's the thing I always have about, you know, and it's still made fun today. Men that go into nursing. I think it had to do with that, you know, his occupation. You know, that everybody makes fun of a guy who's a male nurse. Do you want to lug somebody that's like 350 pounds around? I mean, come on. I mean, there is something about nurses, especially male nurses, anybody that's been in a hospital, you know, anybody that's willing to take care of you while you're ill should be really freaking respected. I mean, the doctor respected that Centauran nurse more so than he did Rory.
Well, I don't think he ever made fun of Rory for being a nurse.
But it's, you know, I think it could be the writers kind of making, you know, not really bringing to light his skills.
I think honestly what it is that Rory is second.
And
from the doctor's perspective, let's be honest, the doctor's perspective is pretty much the only perspective he's going to deal with. He saw Amy first.
Right.
But I think Rory had to be a nurse. I think they wanted to make him a character that was caring and that was medically sound as well, because they've used that on a couple of occasions.
Yes.
But to have him be a doctor along with a doctor, I think would have been too on the nose with the whole Amy thing.
And I think with the three of them, Rory's the counterpoint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's the one that typically makes the most sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's a fantastic companion. And I think if Amy left, I'd be okay with it if they still had Rory around. But I don't think I'd be as happy vice versa. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense that, you know, once they brought Rory on board, it makes sense for them to be, you know, a trio. It sort of evens out. And I think it does work. And I actually really like the way they've written his character, even more so than Amy, because I think Amy has some really serious mental issues.
The funny thing is the doctor latched onto, you know, Rory's dad quicker than he latched onto Rory, really. I think. Or did I not, you know?
He seems to be more polite to strangers.
Okay.
Yeah, but I also don't know if any of that antagonism between him and Rory was to do with Amy. I mean, Rory was always quite aggressive towards the doctor because the fact of, as Widget said earlier on, he puts Amy in danger. So there was always that kind of little antagonism between the two of them, I feel.
And there's the bit in The Girl Who Waited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which thank God for that, because that if they had, I literally the episode before was like they need to go because it wasn't going to make any sense for them to stay, yeah. as we've talked about. And we really are at the limit of. For character wise, for it to make any sense for them to be around at all, unless, you know, Amy just needs therapy. I mean, honestly.
Well, the impression I get is that Amy is obsessed.
Yes.
And Rory will go where Amy goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I think for them to stop, Rory has to stand up to Amy.
Uh huh.
So, you know, so he's got to start.
Well, yeah, they've got, actually three, counting the one this weekend.
Sorry.
So basically, we think one of them's going to die. Because, I mean, how else are they going to stop in this? Because I don't see Rory at this point, with the development that we've had thus far, standing up to Amy. I mean, he'd sooner stand up to the rest of the universe than to Amy. Although, I mean, let me say this, roughly before it leaves my mind, because that's the way my mind works, is if they play on the whole thing that he did in this episode, this most recent episode, where he's like, you know, we all know I love you more, you know, that basically, as I think the term, I'm sorry, giving out, is that the right term? Is that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I feel so Irish, not just because I've been drinking, but no, basically just... in a way that we haven't seen before, saying to her, we all know I love you more. So therefore we might survive because of that. I mean, I got to admit that was pretty ballsy for Rory.
Yeah.
So if they play that up, maybe he can stand up to her and maybe they'll both survive. But at this point, I'm putting money on the fact that one of them's dead at the end of this.
Like, I know.
Is that as tough as they make Amy, when they say your husband's here and she sees him, you can just tell that it's like, oh fuck, like it really bothers her, you know?
Right.
And I think they did a nice. I mean, the scene could have been rewritten. There's a totally way that scene could have been rewritten that would have been great, but no one will ever listen to it. So, but they're both doing a really great job of playing each side of the relationship, which is nice. And I think the fact we have all these gaps of time is also nice because it allows people to sort of think and sort of put things in their own head. But they have both said that once they leave, they're leaving. They're not coming back for the 50th. They're not doing a spinoff. They're done.
Wow.
So that'll be nice. Yeah. So that'll
never
be nice.
Say never.
So yeah, we get them. Rory and Amy go away in three episodes. And then we get the new companion starting the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yep. Which again, I have a theory about, but we'll see.
Now, could someone confirm this for me, Rob? You're probably the best person to confirm this. She was named Oswin in the first episode.
Oswin Oswald in the first episode.
Oswin Oswald.
Her first
okay.
name is supposed to be named Clara Oswin.
Yes.
Which could not be anything.
Yeah, that was the thing. I knew there was a name discrepancy there.
I doubt she's the same person, unless Moffat just fucked with everyone and said her name was Clara just to get it out there.
Well, I think it's two things. It could A, either be him setting us up for something, or it could just be a callback because, you know, it's tradition for Doctor Who. You know, their previous future companions get killed off, and future doctors get to shoot the Doctor in a cliffhanger. It happens.
What I don't want it to be. What I don't want it to be is I don't want it to be the river thing where we meet her at different points in her timeline.
Yeah.
And now we have a whole new person. Put that idea to bed. Don't use it on another character.
No, actually Cosette brought up that as a, said that someone had mentioned that as a theory, and I don't think that's what's happening.
I hope not.
Rob, what I clued into was, because, of course, I latch on to anything, is that when you said he's got something different in mind, I had a completely different take on how this is going to work, which I think might be interesting because, but again, guys have talked about alien companions and companions of different timelines. So something different to me would be a companion that's not alien but not human as well. So that's what I'm going with.
I don't think she's a Dalek necessarily, but I think we're going to get a lot of what we had when Turlo was the companion, and that we don't really know what's going on with her. I think they're going to play that. Is she good? Is she bad? What does she do? Kind of like they kind of did with River for a while, but never really messed with.
Didn't they do something sort of like this?
She'll be our seven of nine.
Didn't they kind of do something like this in the audios where the doctor saves somebody out of their timeline from getting killed, and then they turn out to be a bad guy later?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I hear. I don't listen to the audios, but that's what I hear.
Okay.
Well, my take on it is, and I'm just wondering if we've already established that she has been able to do hacking stuff that the doctor can't. Which means that she could potentially have some sort of failsafe in place, because the whole concept of going earlier, shall we say? I don't like either, Rob. I don't think Moffat would do that twice. I don't think he would do it twice, because I think they've done it with River, and they're not done with River, is what I
would. It would be shit to know that we've seen her death.
We've done that already completely. And while I can see where he can justify doing the Silurian two-parter and the Flesh two-parter in adjacent seasons, I don't see him doing something as large as the River Song thing on a separate character completely.
And the other thing that kind of worries me is I don't know how you plausibly take her from the Dalek Asylum to Victorian England. I just don't know how they do it.
Unless she time shifted.
I didn't even know about that.
Unless she time shifts.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing I keep looking back on is that, like I said, she can do things the Doctor can't. So it seems to me that she would have some sort of failsafe in place that would enable whatever's going to happen. And I think I have a theory as to how that might work, because as Rob is fond of pointing out, Moffat sets things up. So my theory is that there was something very important in Series 6 that I didn't like that is going to be very important in Series 7. And I'll leave it at that.
I kept telling you that.
No. I know, but I think I can see what it is, and I would be very interested to see if I'm right. It still wouldn't make me like it in retrospect for Series 6 if I was correct, but it would be a very interesting take on having a companion, because it would be a companion that much like the fake-out companion that we had in the hotel episode that we've all latched onto and really liked. It would be a companion that the Doctor knows that he's impressed with from jump. And I think that would be very, very interesting to play around with and might make me stick around. So, but we shall see. We shall see. But anyway. So there you go. So, well, you know what we should do is we should romp directly towards recommendations, because it has
been 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Or we could do introductions, because we haven't done those, which puts us exactly like we did Badman twice at Dragon Con, not doing fucking introductions. So
that's okay. This will only end up being an hour long podcast anyway.
I know. So. It's going to be, it's literally going to be 15 minutes. It's going to be.
So even in amended Weekend Justice time, this is probably the shortest time we've ever gotten to the introductions.
You know, this toughly reminds me of that scene in Airplane where he talks about, I'd like to read something light. Oh, we have this pamphlet on famous Jewish sports legends. So I've watched that film way too much. All right. So we'll very quickly do introductions, and then we'll very quickly blend into recommendations, and then we'll run away, scurrying into the night like we do. So we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting exactly right now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice, the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com. We survived Dragon Con. It tried its best to kill us, and yet again, it failed. We're here in the hall of
Weekend Justice. I was going to be on both Bad Men.
We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Sup.
Sup. Fist bump. We also have Tuffley's with us. Hi, Tuffley.
Hello.
Hello. We have Aaron Pohl is with us as well. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hey. Roxas Spaz House is with us too. Hi, Rox.
What's up?
What's up?
There we go.
And John from the Neat Geek is here. Hi, John.
Well, you know, it's always nice to feel pretty.
So, that's introductions done! And it's time for recommendations. Who wants to go first? Okay, Rox, I heard a blip from you. Go, Rox.
Oh, okay. I don't have much, but I'm going to go on what we saw at Dragon Con. I actually talked to Don from T-shirt Bordello, who helped out with the we got some prizes, right? From T-shirt Bordello. Right?
Yeah, we had some they sent us a bunch of stuff for contests with some extras.
And
those extras are what we threw out in the crowd. So if you liked any of the T-shirts we threw out in the Fun Fest, T-shirt Bordello is your Guardo Cabino.
Yes. He had a great time at the con. Sold plenty of shirts. Did a lot of pre-orders too for stuff. So I wear plenty of T-shirt Bordello shirts. Also, we got some really great prizes from Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab.
Yes.
Of which I actually bought some perfume because it was kind of cool. I kind of hesitate ordering online because it is perfume. They had a booth. And I think by Sunday, there was a line waiting to get to their booth to test some of their stuff. So I bought, number 93 Engine, which is a steampunk scent. The Old Goblin, which is a crown of hardened ice and polished fir cones. And Prague, a crocus with snowdrop and three lilies. That's what I bought. And the really cool thing about these folks, when you spend money with Black Phoenix, they'll actually give you samples. I think I walked away with like 5 elephant ears. Little vials, like I think 1 ounce of perfume, with like snake oil, which is one of their number one seller perfumes and stuff. So hit them up because each year they always have a whole slew of Halloween stuff coming up. Yep. So, and Scott is our number one reviewer of Black Phoenix. Yeah, Black Phoenix, Alchemy Lab stuff, and look at them. And you know who Joe and Amy are like? I actually took a photo of my collection of perfume, and apparently they've got like 200.
Wow.
Some insane amount of perfume. They're like, oh, yeah, we have you beat. It's like, oh, I thought this is pretty decent. I guess not. I'll slink away to the corner. So those are the people that we like. So go and peruse their stuff because I really don't have anything else of which. Okay, one real quick thing. This is a Help Me Rocks thing.
Yeah.
Always, if you're going to look for a book, read reviews. I almost picked up the Fooling Houdini. Almost picked it up until I remembered. I read the review that Ricky J gave on this book.
Oh wow! I remember scathing. That one. That was,
yes, I almost blew money on Fooling Houdini. So please, people, take to heart some of the half-assed reviews that we give, because it'll save you money in the end. So yeah I remembered the Ricky. I'm like, it's like Fooling Houdini. That reminds me, it's not the Thurston book. Against Thurston and Houdini. But I'm like, somehow it jogged my memory. So I quickly tapped that in. Bingo. There was the Ricky J review.
That's cool.
Always read reviews.
And I will say, do Google the Ricky J review of that.
It is scathing. And also there is a forum for, if you're interested in the Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab stuff, there is forums that some people will actually write reviews for certain perfumes that you're interested in that you will order online. So I'm done.
Hey, Rox.
Yes.
I'm sorry to do this to which everybody else, but it's in my head. We should get an interview with Ricky J for the zine.
Oh my God. I want Ricky J to show up at Dragon Con. I will go to every fucking panel he is at, and I will camp out at his hotel, because this man is fucking amazing.
I have, okay, let me just say this. I have a number of out of print Ricky J books, and there are a number of the ones I don't have on my Amazon wish list, because Ricky J fucking kicks ass.
He's the only reason to watch David Mamet films, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and he was fist bumped.
There you go.
I
Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps. I think that's what we need to do. So, and the other thing I'll point out is that Rox did purchase the 93 engine scent from Black Phoenix, but what she does is when she commits arson, she puts that on, and thus she smells like a fireman, and people let her leave.
Right.
And on that, the bell rings. Fucking awesome. All right, I don't remember who said next. Who was next?
I'll go.
Oh, definitely.
All right, so while we're all waiting for the fall video games to come out, you can catch up on a couple that you looked at and thought they were too hideously expensive for you at the time. I will start with Red Dead Redemption from many of the same people behind the Grand Theft Auto games. It's actually really, really good. It's a Western, and which you'll be pleased to know that there is also a zombie expansion pack.
Hell yeah.
So Western zombies. Awesome. And I think John may have mentioned this one earlier in the year, but Batman, Lego Batman 2.
Yes.
Really, really awesome. And it includes other DC characters besides Batman and Robin, if you get bored with playing with them or dropping Robin off a building, as I typically do. But just for fun. But Batman Lego, Lego Batman 2, and Lego Lord of the Rings is coming up in the fall. So that'll be interesting.
One does not simply snap into Mordor.
Exactly.
Interesting fact on Lego's 2, Batman 2, the characters actually talk now.
Yeah.
Which I'm both happy about and also a little disappointed in, because part of the fun of the other Legos, you had no idea what they were really talking about, but it was hilarious because they talked in a little Lego ease.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
And John's disappointed because his Legos don't talk.
As much as I've tried to animate them.
I know. Trust me.
Like a sandwich.
I know. Trust me. I had to make all my action figures talk. You kids with your talking action figures, you can fuck off, bitches.
So,
G.I. Joe had that pull string.
Yeah.
Yep.
Screw the kids.
Actually, $6 million man one with the eye was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
His name is Steve Austin, not Steve Rogers.
Spoilers.
Yes, definitely. Well, considering the episode hasn't been posted yet, yes, spoilers. Anyway, Tuffley, please continue.
So, a couple albums that I'll recommend that have come out as we're getting into the period of time where, in fact...
Hold on, let's just get this out of the way now. Okay.
Okay. You got your list?
Yeah.
Got it there? Okay, good. The fall records that are dropping massively a lot in the coming months. We'll start with, Theater's Evil from Amanda Palmer, which is now out into the wild. The Kickstarter people who actually bought the physical product got it first, Widge.
Indeed, it's very sweet.
It was available for download yesterday. So well done. If you bought the physical product, you got it first.
I really like the song that Widge posted on his Music Monday this week. I thought that was awesome.
Oh yeah, Killing Time.
Yeah.
Let me just say
really well.
Well, I mean, my thing is, as I said in the Music Monday, I was never a fan before this, but from Do It With a Rockstar on, I've just been really, really impressed, and I don't know what's changed. I mean, I can't put my finger.
Having a full band behind her.
Maybe.
Because I think a full band ropes her in.
Okay.
And it makes her, I mean, Lava Dress and Golf had their own little thing. After a while, okay, I get it. All right. But it still sort of had this thing. But I think having a band in, it's the same way that Ben Folds works with Ben Folds or Ben Folds with Ben Folds 5, but it's completely different with both ways.
Yeah.
I think what it is when you put her with a band like that, she could go into any corner that she wants lyrically, and they will just musically sort of buffer it. I was really surprised how much I liked it because, I mean, I loved the Dresden Dolls. The last record I was kind of iffy on, right? But the way she, I don't know if it's her, but I'm assuming it is, the way she paid attention to melody this time, which I haven't seen in any of her other records, was really nice. Overall catchiness of it.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a chance with the band to kind of expand what she does.
Yeah.
Lyrically. And I think that really works out for her. We're actually going to go see her when they play here Saturday.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear your review of that. But
I want to see what she does with this band live.
Yeah, and like I said, Music Monday. Even when I didn't like her music, which I really do with Theater is Evil, I've really been impressed with how she does everything else. I mean, as an artist, she just impresses the shit out of me. That's the dichotomy there.
So the other one that I was going to recommend, and I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to leave it at two, to give other people a chance, Rob.
No, I don't think I got anything you did, so you're fine.
Okay. Well, I'll go with Love This Giant from David Byrne and St. Vincent. Good. We're there. All right. St. Vincent and David Byrne, their collaboration called Love This Giant. It's kind of what you think it is. It's kind of in the middle between St. Vincent's usual records and the Talking Heads. So if you really, 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 really like the Talking Heads, this is up your alley. Really nice stuff. And that will do me for now. But
David Byrne rides around with a folding bike.
I do know that. He mentions it in his email a lot.
Yeah.
And when he sends his emails out, when he sends his like promotional emails out, he'll have this wandering story about his bike rides.
Yeah.
So, he does mention the folding bike a lot.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's who we have to get somehow a copy of the zine to.
Oh, yeah.
That works.
I think he'd hate it, but...
That's okay.
We don't care. Okay.
David Byrne hates it, and Alan Moore has no comment. Works for me.
Shh. Edit that out.
All right, who's next?
What happened is Rock would be like, we have a zine. I like bicycles. Let's talk about folding bicycles, and it all would be well. And then
yeah, we
crime
could.
Movie.
I would read the hell out of that interview. Let me just say.
I just want there to be like a PBS special where Rox and David Byrne travel across the country on a bike and interview hobos.
Yeah.
I want it to be one of those tandem bikes where they're on the same bike pedaling together. And that folds up.
Yeah.
Let's take Manhattan where they're all on the bikes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh, yes. There you go.
Yes, but without all the strings.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No. All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
Because it's, as Tuffy said, it seems to be music time. I got two albums, both from Irish artists. One is Two Door Cinema Club. They finally released.
You weren't the only person I did that for. Thank you very much.
They released their second album called Beacon. And it's more of the same, I feel. But that's a good thing because their last album was quite good and catchy. It's
pretty tasty, yeah.
Yeah, summery kind of pop, as I kind of feel like it is. But so I won't say too much about it. If Rob would like to talk about it at length, he's more than welcome to. The second album is Fionn Regan has released his fourth studio album called The Bunkhouse Volume 1, Anchor Black Tattoo, which is only a year since his last album. So in the last, since 2010, he's released three albums. Now, depending on your point of view, I think that's a good thing because the last three albums have been quite diverse. And this is kind of the first album, since his original album, The End of History, that has a similar sound, it's kind of sound. So he's kind of going back to his roots slightly with a stripped down, him and his guitar sort of feel. Whereas the other two were, one was electric and the other was quite, orchestral. This is kind of going back to the folksy guitar stuff that we know, but he's always got a great little tinge of kind of punk lyrics. So I don't know how much Fionn Regan has traveled across the world, but I think it's a guy who should be checked out a lot more. So check him out. Also, just on the offhand, I finally watched Let the Right One In, and it was a fucking phenomenal film. And I would recommend anyone to see it. And I'm talking about the original Let the Right One In, not the other film by a different name.
Okay.
Let the Right One In is just a beautifully directed, wonderful, wonderful film. And it's not a horror film. I know some people think it's a horror film. It's not at all. There's nothing particularly gross in there. There's, you know, it's not something you'd show kidless. But it's more about two kids connecting, and it's kind of wonderful.
Well, if you can get through an episode of Solve This.
Well, also considering that by all reports, Kidlet is now Manlet, I would think it'd be fine.
Oh, okay. That's we should work on that.
I'm not editing that. Fuck you.
We should seriously work on new name for Kidlet, because Manlet sounds like pipes. It sounds like something you should do in this whole Faust episode. Well, we had to replace the Manlet today.
Charles Bronson is Manlet. William Shakespeare is Manlet. Oh, God.
Manitar.
God. Aaron, were you done? I'm sorry. We sort of meandered.
We did. I am done, definitely.
Okay, excellent. All right, Rob, that brings us to you. What do you got?
That scared me. The Manlet thing is frightening me.
frightening you? Talk to Lee.
Sorry. So, first of all, it's mid-September. Christmas is around the corner. You're probably starting to think about Christmas gifts. All I have to say is don't. Just spend a special bit of time and fist bump your neighbor. That's all I'm saying. It's easy.
Sup?
Sup?
Sup. So I was so happy that somebody just came up to me at the gift shop at the airport from Dragon Con and went, sup. I'm like, yes! So anyway, speaking of David Byrne, and this is why I left the album for Tuffley. He's got a new book out with McSweeney's called How Music Works.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's awesome. It's everything you wanted to know about how the music industry works, how to make a record, how to sell a record, why your record's not going to work.
it's this really sort of DIY thing on how to make your just everything about the industry, and it's really great. Which reminds me, before I forget, Rox, we should send a zine to McSweeney's. They'll hate it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm writing that down.
But
I'm David sending Byrne stuff off to Microcosm. That's like the diamond of zines. So I got an email from them.
We should mention too, segueing from the how music works to how it doesn't. If you're interested in getting a copy of the new copy of Hanging Derelict, you still can get one. If you didn't get one at Dragon Con, just email, shoot us an email, and we'll make sure you get one. Although you won't get the fun and awesomeness of getting it in person that someone described to me the other day as the freak show of getting it handed to them in person, which I knew we'd accomplished our mission. So,
from God.
I thought was fun.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, no, we got a very nice email from that, too, so that was awesome. How Music Works by David Byrne. By the way, David Bowie, Doctor Who, just think about it. That's all I'm saying. Other thing I want to recommend is, speaking of Amanda Palmer, they have made – I kind of hate it when they remake records, but this kind of works. They have remade the soundtrack to Repo Man. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
No. I did, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I want Widge to hear is that the Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra are doing Institutionalized.
Oh, fuck.
The old Suicidal Tendency song. If there was ever anyone that could take that song and make it their own, it's awesome. Yeah.
I hope really, they do really it on good. Saturday, actually.
It's really good. Frank Black's on it. Also, those darlings who are banding over here and a lot of in the future. Mike Watt is on it as well, but it's the Repo Man soundtrack redone by a whole bunch of contemporary artists. It's really kind of interesting.
Wow.
Then, also equally as frightening, the soundtrack to Frankenweenie.
Oh.
Which this could kind of scare you. Winona Ryder's on it singing. But also Robert Smith does a cover of Witchcraft. So if you ever want to hear Robert Smith sing like lounge music, this is your chance. And surprisingly, it works. It's very strange. And of course, those soundtrack is complete without the Flaming Lips, who are on it, as well as Passion Pit, another great band. And Karen O, from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs is on it as well. So it's a couple interesting little things. And this really big up-and-coming sort of singer named Grace Potter is on it as well. It's a soundtrack to Frankenweenie. It's just weird. I can't even describe how weird it is, because I put it on random in the computer, and the first thing that came up was the Winona Ryder song, and I didn't look at who was on it. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold it, what? And then it made me look at it, and it was just very strange. So the soundtrack of Tim Burton's Frankenweenie, and then a band called Wild Nothing. It's actually one dude, but it's great. So if you're a fan, they're from Savannah, but if you're a fan of, I don't know, like the Smiths or Real Estate or stuff like that, you want to check out Wild Nothing. The album's called Nocturne. It's really good. I think you'd like it, and I think Mrs. Tuffley would like it as well.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Then DVD-wise, a couple things, and I'll let you all go. I was really happy to get this from John from Anglotopia. It's the DVD on Acorn Media of Special Branch, which is this really great British spy drama, and it's 13 episodes of it. It was like the big British spy drama of the 70s, right? A police drama of the 70s. And, it's you might think it looks dated, but like everything from Life on Mars to Luther sort of goes back to Special Branch. It's just, it's awesome. Even Hill Street Blues, you could find elements of Special Branch in it. It's really hard hitting. It's really gritty. It's really grimy. And they're finally out on DVD. So I love that. And then, I had never seen the series until I got the full set, but it's Rumpole of the Bailey.
Yeah.
All 42 episodes are out in a 14 DVD box set, right? And I love it. I've been holed up sick at home all week watching it, and it's really awesome. And a bunch of actors you know from other places pop up in it. Highly recommended.
And Leo McKern, baby.
Leo McKern, yes. And I'm glad that he had his moment in the sun, sort of, because he was so great in The Prisoner, but this is sort of his moment in the sun that is just incredible. And then finally, with the coming of the Doctor Who Western we alluded to earlier, Doctor Who the Gunfighters. Now, it has been called the absolute worst Doctor Who episode ever made. And when I was researching the for the column this week, I'm getting ready to write my Doctor Who column for this week. And so I'm going to do a thing on the Gunfighters. So I said, I'm going to sit down and watch the Gunfighters, right? And my wife had never seen the first Doctor, right? And she just comes into the room, and I'm watching it, and she's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I said, yes, but it's a Western done entirely in a studio. The actor that plays Doc Holliday, the problem is when you hear him talk, he sounds like Will Forte. And so, which is hilarious, which he doesn't mean to because it was done in the 60s. But basically, it's the first Doctor of the Gunfighter, the Gunfighter, if that gives you some sort of emotional, or not emotional.
It does. It makes me very emotional.
No, it was emotional, yeah. All right.
And it truly is one of the most ghastly things ever made. But it's also kind of kitschy and fun.
That singing is horrible.
Yeah, basically what they did is they framed every scene with a singer. And basically she sings this sort of really awful
ballad.
Sort of Western ballad thing, right? And at first it's like, okay, it's catchy, but after a while, you know, my sweet mild wife is like, if this doesn't go away soon, I'm going to punch you, you know? and she's like, everything I've ever heard about Doctor Who, because she watches the new show, and she's always kind of taken my love of Doctor Who with amusement. But she just watched this and she goes, wow, everything that I never understood about why Doctor Who was terrible, I now understand.
Wow. So you know, you should have showed her the Pertwee Dinosaurs episode right after
I know,
that.
Yeah.
No, she saw that, and she's like, she's fine with it being hokey. She's totally okay. Fine with it. She's like, this is just the ballad. It's like, she's like, okay, this is just terrible. William Hartnell shoots a guy, and he holds the gun the wrong way.
I never could figure out whether the ballad person was supposed to be some take on Love Me the Love Me Tender movie. I never could figure that out.
No, I think it was just an attempt. They thought it was choppy, and they wanted to add something different to it. And
I know they were padding time, but I was wondering if that's where maybe they got the idea for it.
Yeah, well, the thing that's interesting is that, like, this pretty much killed the historical story in Doctor Who for a very long time.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
It was widely regarded as the worst. I almost would recommend you see it just to see it, but then you'd punch me.
Wow.
No, it is like, man.
That sounds like you need to bring that to a Witch Halloween party.
No, it's like Event Horizon.
That's what that sounds like.
Horizon. It's like Event Horizon is a 6-hour miniseries. But
oh my god,
in black and white.
But you know, William Hartnell, though, to be fair, William Hartnell is really great in it. There's a scene where the doctor gets his tooth out, and it's like, oh, my tooth's out, and then you know, that's it, you know. And he travels in a TARDIS, and the characters come out in Western clothes, but they, like, Stephen Taylor, the companion, the poor guy, Peter Purvis, who played him, comes out in this thing that looks like, it looks like someone mugged Roy Clark. I mean, it's just, it looks like something out of Hee Haw, right? It's just
tonight,
fucking terrible,
the TARDIS
right?
lands in Hee Haw.
And then, to make it better, they have the ballad that they sing in the episodes. He's disguised as Stephen Regret, who's like a singer, they're performing artists that are traveling from town to town. Much like Vox and I do when we go to different towns, we tell everyone we're performing artists, and that way we get free booze and drinks. But,
and fist bumps.
But fist bumps, yes. But
oh my god, I want to see Minnie Pearl as a companion. I do.
You know, holy shit, I would pay good
money
for that.
Minnie Pearl would be great as a love interest for Mott. For Donna's grandfather.
Yes.
But anyway.
Buck Owens.
Oh, Jesus. But what's really scary about it is poor Peter Purvis has to sing the ballad that is sung through the whole thing. And he just looks uncomfortable. I mean, it's just, you know, but at the same time, it is quintessentially 1960s Doctor Who. So if you want to sort of see what Doctor Who looked like in the 60s, when it was trying not to do science fiction. There's no aliens in it. And they did The Reign of Terror before that, which was like this really dense political thing that no one liked. They didn't learn from that, and they went the other way and went completely camp. The Gunfighters on DVD. Now, I will say about the Gunfighters DVD, on the extras, they have a overview, sort of. It's not the making of the Gunfighters, but it's like an overview of the Hartnell years, where it walks through, like, all of the Hartnell years and explains different, like, baseline, which I'd never heard, how they got Bill Hartnell to leave, how Bill Hartnell fought all the time with the producers and directors because he thought it was his show, and if he didn't make it his show, they would ruin it or ruin him. I mean, a lot of that stuff's really interesting. So it is, I mean, if you're going to buy the DVD, you know, the extras on it are great, but be warned, it is, it might, it's up there with the Horns of Nymon as truly just hideous Dr. Who. But it's so fun. No, I mean, if you, I hadn't seen it before last night since I was 15. And it was equally as horrible now as it was when I was 15. But it really was. It really is a lot of fun. So I recommend people try to at least watch it. And it might be streaming on Amazon somewhere, or it might be available through Netflix or whatever. Or go to your library maybe and rent and check it out. If you got a friend who watches Doctor Who, get him to buy it and you can watch it. It's one of those things that if we gave away the prize at FunFest, I'd almost expect people to give it back. But there is a certain
our new New York Minute prize. I think it should be.
New York Minute.
There is a certain beauty to it, and I'm wondering if they're going to reference it in the Western coming up. Because there's a reason why the Doctor has not been to the Wild West since the mid-60s. That's how bad this episode was. So, that's it for my recommendations. But and get our zine, Derelict, available in fine stores everywhere. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, thanks, Rob. All right, John, what you got?
Nothing. Done.
All right, fine.
I'd like to recommend Concrud.
I don't think he got sick. John didn't get sick, did he?
You didn't get sick?
I didn't get sick.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, he's just that way.
Do you want me to get sick? I can get sick if you want me to.
He's a Terminator. He can't be stopped.
I'm actually looking at this, thumbing through the footage that I have, and realizing that I'm missing the stationary camera from the taste test. And I don't know
what.
Oddly, Rob, I was just checking. There's a shit ton of Doctor Who classic seasons out there. Season 3, of which Gunfighters is a part, is not one of them. So,
no.
Well, but that's probably because the DVD's coming out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but yes. So, all right. My recommendations. First of all.
Well, I guess you don't care about my stationary camera footage being missing.
Wait, is it gone? Sure. Missing?
Wait a minute. So you had a camera trained on a pad of stationary through the entire taste test?
Yes. It's gone. It's nowhere to be found, apparently.
So you have Boutel
shaky cam.
You have donut cams that had small cameras attached to the donuts as they were being eaten?
All I have is Boutel shaky cam.
So you're shaking your Boutel is what you're saying?
Yes.
He was doing the too legit to quit dance.
So, Aaron, that editing job I wanted you to do for the taste test, it became increasingly easier.
Actually, Aaron, if you could just edit it so that you could make the camera stop moving, that would be great. So it would be actually stationary.
Is he still on the line?
I don't know. Yeah. Is he? He's showing up as on the line, but I don't know. He may have gone to Tinkle or something.
Beijing, cool.
And by stationary, you mean the station that was frequently cited by Bill and Ted.
Yes.
So, John?
Yes.
Lost everyone.
Sylvester
McCoy still likes
you
best.
What's that
to do?
What?
Huh?
I said Sylvester McCoy still likes you best.
Was somebody trying to make a point just then?
That's probably true. Yeah, someone was trying to make a point. It was coherent. Therefore, someone had to die.
That's how Skype works. All right, so
moving on.
quick recommendations.
I recommend backups. That's what I recommend.
That is a very important
thing. I recommend you double check your drive before you hit delete on your camera.
That is very important. So my recommendations, first of all, Ricky J was mentioned before. I would recommend Ricky J Plays Poker, which is a not only get a deck of cards, which presumably approved by Ricky J, but most importantly, a CD of music about card playing handpicked by Ricky J. How awesome is that? So Ricky J Plays Poker. It's actually on Amazon is Rick J Plays Poker. And that's not accurate. But if you search for Ricky J, you'll find it. So that is fun. I will also recommend what may be last year, my favorite band, favorite album of the year was from Moovits out of Sweden. It may be that Sweden is going to take it again for me this year because I really love the fuck out of Diablo Swing Orchestra, which is a swing metal band, which I think I likened it to if Danny Elfman decided to combine Mr. Bungle and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, combine the two bands, kidnap an opera singer.
I would say more Zipper than Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, but that's
Well, it depends on the song, which is what's crazy. Because
that's true.
Literally, you could some songs you just go, oh, well, there's that, and then some songs you just go, I don't know what the fuck that is, which is the Bungle influence. But it's like you combine those two bands. They kidnap an opera singer and they go on a crime spree. I mean, that's basically
all right.
Yeah,
that's my life every weekend.
There you go. They've got three albums out, two of which are out on Spotify, and their latest one, Pandora's Piñata, I just cannot fucking stop listening to. So I highly recommend checking them out. I would also recommend two box sets that are recent. I don't like as much as the season one box sets as far as extras go, but they still stack up. The first one of which is Boardwalk Empire season two, the Blu-ray. You've got some nice commentaries. I think I may have mentioned this before. Michael Kenneth Williams is on one. Steve Buscemi is on one. Gretchen Mol is on one. So they have some good ones on there. They also have a, whereas on season one, while you watched the episode, you could hit something and click through to, a supplement that would tell you about a time or a place or music or whatever. They have those broken out onto their own section, which is both nice and feels like it's less. So,
was that the thing that is that tablet sync thing? Or is that,
I don't know that they have second screen, to be honest. I have not looked at that. Okay. If they have second screen, I have not played around with it. I have not seen it. I'll put it this way. I've not seen anything on the discs that's like, hey, if you plug in your iPad, you can blah, 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 you know?
Okay. So because I had heard about they were playing around with second screen on some of that stuff. So I don't know if they had actually gone through with it or not.
I have not completely finished. I've been going through the commentaries. And I will say that I am sad that there is no Steve Buscemi, Michael Pitt commentary on the last episode. So we'll leave it at that. Walking Dead season two out on Blu-ray. I finally got to commentaries aren't great, even though they try to put in a cast member on, at least one cast member on most of the episodes that they do have commentaries on. I will say that they have a commentary on the second to last episode with Laurie Holden, which is quite good because Greg Nicotero directed that episode. He's on the commentary, and he is, of course, also the guy who was in charge of all their zombie makeup. And I was listening to it this morning and got to hear the immortal line, which I think everyone should use out of context next week in whatever conversation, which is, shit, we were already building the cow. I think that's an important line to work into conversations just at random. So, it's good. Because you do get some commentary, some feedback from the crew on what they were thinking going into what is essentially a transitional season for the show. And they also bring in, for example, they have Scott Wilson. And I can't remember the name of the actor who plays Glenn on the episode that's the first non-Frank Darabont episode.
It's Glenn Acterton.
Glenn Acterton, thank you. Not to be confused with William Atherton, who was in Ghostbusters. there's your completely nonsensical, useless fact for this episode. That at least the one that has nothing to do with vaginas. So, but no, that's good because I mean, they, you'd think they would, they, I mean, they dance around, like, for example, well, let's just say for spoilers, a major character at the end of season two, let's leave it that way. They dance around the decisions for that, that weren't in the comic. But they do actually mention Frank Darabont by name, which I didn't expect, and address, you know, you actors, how did you feel coming into the second half of the season knowing that these changes had happened? So that was interesting. But I mean, both of the shows are excellent still and worth checking out. And of course, I think, this coming weekend, Boardwalk Empire season 3 starts up. So
on Sunday.
Yep. So there you go. So those are my recommendations. So that being said, on that bombshell, I think we have entered into the end zone of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I think
Ooh, that's a sports reference.
I know, really.
I think we'd almost gone an entire episode without a sports reference.
I knew that. I mean, it's in the script. So what can I do? I don't know what it means. I'm just reading what's in the script. You can blame Doc. But no, I think on that bombshell, I think we will end this episode of Weekend Justice like we've ended most episodes of Weekend Justice by saying, what are we going to say? We're going to say,
oh, now you're going to throw it to us.
We're going
to
say,
normally ruin it for you.
I know, I ruined it for you.
Shit, I've already built the cow.
Sup.
Oh, that's, I like that. Yeah.
We're going to say sup.
Sup. Sup.
Sup. Or sup.
Hi, Sammy. Oh my God. And Aaron's still apparently on the line, but asleep.
Fire Zane. Derelict.
Zane,
say derelict.
Derelict.
Get our Zane or the kitties die. We're going to kill a kitten for every time you don't buy a Zane.
And by kitten, they mean a stripper from Mons Venus. That's her name.
Wow.
Or that chick from Father Knows Best. She's still around, right?
Sure.
Her name is Kitten.
We're targeting people from retro sitcoms now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
There's no retribution. What can you do?
You know what?
This is what the time machine's for.
Rox,
you know,
Rox is becoming the scourge of retro sitcoms. I wanted to see her blow away one of those people and go, justice is served.
Get the ammo. We're going back in time and taking out those make room for daddy kids.
All of them. Yeah, that house, full house.
I miss Dragon Con. That would have worked in a Dragon Con room.
Yeah.
Full house.
Dragon Con's over.
But now's the part where I make Rox the happiest woman in the world.
Really? Are you dressed up as
guess who's really agent I requested an interview inches. From today for the zine?
Oh, God.
Well, it can't be Zombie Mr. Rogers.
It can't be someone.
No. I emailed the agent for Crispin Glover, and I said, can I just send him 10 questions for a zine?
Oh, wow. You know he would do it. Do you know he was here? He was here. Oh, man. That'd be awesome.
I was going to ask him to write the introduction.
Ooh.
It won't happen. But
even if it's just three words.
You never know. It's such a weird zine. I'm sending off some to Microcosm over the weekend. So.
Yeah, I'm taking some to Powell in Portland.
Mm-hmm. I got to make a shipment to Atomic Comics, too. Bunch. Oh, and I gave some to JJ, and I sent some to I gave some to John Galbo, so
Can find JJ's wife or girlfriend rather works at Powell's.
Well, then see, you don't have to do it now because I gave some to Jay. I gave him like five, so you don't have to do that. And John Galbo said he'd do something with the city, so you know.
What's gonna be?
Oh my God! You know what would be funny if he runs across Big Bri and hands him a zine because Big Bri's in New York. Here you go. Here's a zine for you.
What's gonna be great though is when Rob walks into Powell's and goes, "Yeah, hi, I'm from the Derelict Zine. I'm checking on the copies that you have here."
And a cool gun.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. Yes, I sell Derelict and Grit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, that's my dream goal. I'm trying to earn sea monkeys. My wife is to get a copy of me holding the zine outside the house where Kurt Cobain offed himself. That is my dream.
That would be okay. Awesome. That'd be awesomely awkward.
That would be awesomely awkward.
The only reason John likes that is because it made the Foo Fighters possible.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you know this what? We should do this like a flat Stanley.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
We could do a derelict version of flat Stanley.
Hang on, Rox. I'm not going to let you run over Stan Lee with a steamroller.
No.
Would it be a Stanley steamroller?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it's this little paper guy.
Steamer.
I did it with my niece. I got all sorts of cool photos.
You ran over Stanley with your niece, you heartless monster.
I'm sure Stanley.
Oh my God.
She's easy I can pick her up. I know. He's kind of flat now. Have you seen him? He couldn't get out of the Mach 5 without
Rox,
help.
That's just his delivery. Is that the name of his penis?
What? We're talking about Stanley climbing out of his own penis? What the hell is going on?
Yeah, but everyone would think Jack Kirby thought of it.
I own that. God damn it.
How would you like to meet my source? I'm sorry. I meant to say my boom tube.
The estates of both Simon and Kirby are claiming rights to Stanley's penis.
How long can he last? Well, they call him the fur people. Am I making bad sex jokes? I drank an entire bomber of Trapel. I'm just gone.
I was reminding people that the guy that played the dead Weekend at Bernie's guy, that was Stan Lee in the 70s. I'm like, that's something they gloss over, kids.
Does Stan Lee wake up and say Excelsior? No, Stan, you're dead.
Yeah.
Just write a soapbox. It'll be fine.
Now we gotta edit this out.
Oh God, I gotta edit some more!
You know, really, if they wanted to make a Mach 5, they would have started with a Ferrari.
I know.
They're not cheap. I know. What are you going to do?
Well, neither are Corvettes.
Sadly, the Wachowski's Speed Racer at least looked amazing.
All right, whatever.
Damn.
And on that bombshell.
I'm done.
Done.
You and I are done professionally. Yeah. Personally, we're okay, but professionally, we are done.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, God. All right. I think we should all run away now.
Yes, this is true. Yeah. Hey, it's not like Dragon Con where, oh, it's an hour, we're done. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And
here's Dakota. Good night, Aaron, whoever you are.
Bye.